this week. The next era of video games and non-interactive media is here on the heels of a critically successful and renewed Castlevania series, comes announcements of additional series, movies, and more. Tonight, the next episode of Orange Lounge Radio is here, chock full of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio. Live tonight, episode number 695 for this July the 23rd of 2017. We, of course, are three folks here based out of Sacramento, California to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. I am Rob Roberts. She is Dark Sakura.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
So this is the last Sunday with Das Boot on your foot, right?
Yes. So I'm going to decorate it with stars on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
So that when they cut it off, it'll be sparkly and my foot will be free.
There you go.
And what's going to happen is I'm going for a pedicure. Right when it's done, right after my doctor's appointment, I'm going to have a pedicure. I don't care how gross my foot is.
As a lady should treat herself once in a while. Or a gentleman, actually. I had a pedicure once. I was like, my toenails never look better.
Well, it's really relaxing, though, to have someone scrub your feet.
Well, also, there's that chair that...
Right?
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is that I like that it's... the tips of my toes are actually... Because I haven't been able to wear anything over my toes. Mm-hmm. So the tips of my toes are actually really kind of scuffed up.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice to have, like, human feet again.
I'm kind of surprised no one has thought of a way to sell, like, brodicures or, like, target men in that market somehow. Like, not.
You should just call it metricures.
Look, I'm all for, you know, screw your gender norms and all that stuff. But I understand the reality is most men view it as a girly thing. But, like, what if, like, you
fragile
could...
Fragile masculinity.
I know. Look, that's a whole nother issue, but the reality is the society we live in, right?
Yeah,
so, I mean,
stupid.
Could there be a thing where, like, you could go, like, play game, video, you're, like, playing Xbox while getting your feet scrubbed? I don't know.
I've played my DS while having, right? You know, a pedicure, so...
I know. How many people do text messages when they do it?
Right?
I don't know.
I could just do Pokemon Go like I'm doing right now.
All
right.
Loki.
I'm trying to get to level 29.
Techmaster Loki is here. Loki, would you get a brodicure?
No.
No? Why not?
Like, it's expensive. I accidentally wandered into, like, during, like, jury duty one year, I wandered into a barber shop that was like a men's spa. It cost me like $40 for a fucking haircut. So no thank you. I will just...
So the only men's spas I know of are the hookup joints.
No, I was gonna say. Was like an upscale, like, get your hair cut, get, you know, your, you know, face shade and stuff. Like, fuck that. I can just go to the bowling alley that has a barbershop in there, and they'll charge me, like, $20 for that.
Just as a rule of thumb, Loki, if a men's club is offering a steam room and they're charging you $40 to get in there, Loki, I don't think it's your cup of tea. You don't want to go in there.
I'm duly noted.
All right, just a public service
now. Usually the advertisements are going to be pretty obvious what...
Hey, you never know. All right, going to our chat. We do tape live, of course. Believe it or not, it's a video game show. And we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Although not tonight. He's going through the whole home transition he's talked about on his show. So he wasn't able to join us tonight, but usually he's there. And you can, of course, check out his podcast feed or the podcast feed of many of the great shows that we share the network with. Like, as far as gaming shows go, we have Girls Gone Wow, Game Buoy, Electric Sisterhood, and that's just some of many shows that we have that are great at the Voice Geeks Network. So check that out. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. JD in chat says, gender is a construct. Tear it apart. Yes, there you go. There you go, Darcy.
Oh, it's not just tearing it apart. It's disintegration time.
Let's see, which was also a great album by The Cure. Speaking of
that was
defying gender norms.
That was disintegration. It wasn't disintegration time. It was...
I thought that was an album. Was it disintegration?
It didn't end in time.
Oh.
I'll look it up now.
All right. Anyway.
Maybe I'm thinking of Fascination Street.
Am I? I don't know. Anyway, I'm also looking at SSGO100 Matt, who says, I had a pedicure once also. My toenails were never cut so well. Yeah, it just happens sometimes.
It was just called disintegration.
Athletes get pedicures all the time. It's better on their feet to have someone work on them regularly. And yeah, I think certain types of diabetics have to get kind of pro feet treatment
also
as well.
I am too ticklish for any of that. So.
Are you really?
Yeah, I can't.
That's kind of cute in an awkward way.
So the album was Disintegration.
I know my Cure albums.
Well, I do too, but I knew.
I had my phase in high school.
I had said Disintegration Time, and that wasn't it.
All right, fair enough. All right. So anyway, we want to get to the kickoff topic tonight. Look, it is a video game show. I want to get to video games because we have a little bit of a cameo tonight. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And yes, we'll talk about Comic-Con as well. I know some of y'all are at Comic-Con. So there was a few festivals going on this weekend. So one of them was the Pokemon Go festival that was happening in Chicago. The very first time Niantic was doing an event live based on Pokemon Go, but not the first live Niantic event. In fact, I feel like maybe I need to get a shirt made that says, I survived a successful Niantic event in Chicago.
Yeah, you might be confused that this isn't their first event, but...
Yeah. All right, Loki, from the media perspective, from the news, what's been going on? What's being reported on out there in the bloggy world?
It was a fucking shit show.
Is that the official Tom Brokaw line?
Yeah, basically. So, they had problems with it being very unplayable. Apparently, they did not have enough server space available for the players in the area, and it caused them not to be able to catch different Pokemon that were in there or to battle some of these, you know, legendary Pokemon that they had. So it was bad. I mean, people were chanting, you know, fix the game, you know, that type of stuff. So
did you watch any of the feed on Twitch as it was going on?
I had logged into that like early and they hadn't actually shown anything yet. And I was like, fuck, this ain't sitting here all day to watch this shit.
Yeah. It was weird to me how the live stream was on and off. Like, it was like they would show something for 10 minutes and then they'd be like, we're just going to show this static image and you can hear the noises of the festival, but you can't see anything. Now, I probably can't stream it
with all the bandwidth problems.
I guess. Now, I had always planned on Saturday because they did this whole thing where they were like, okay, the people at Grant Park are going to be catching Pokemon, and the types of Pokemon that they catch are going to drive these bonuses. And if everybody else in the world can catch a ton of Pokemon, although they never gave numbers, if everybody in the world catches these Pokemon, we're going to roll out these bonuses for 24, 48 hours, and who knows, a mystery challenge, which we all fucking know was going to be legendaries, right? So I had always planned to go out with a pal downtown and we were going to go catch Pokemon. And honestly, Saturday when we were out doing Pokemon during the measurement windows of the event, which was our time 9 a.m. to 9:30, then it was like 11 to 11:30, 1 to 1:30. So we went to we didn't really know where to go, so we were like, let's just go to the Capitol because that's a really crowded area and it has a ton of Pokestops, right? So we went down there. And there was like a lot of people there playing the game. And for all those people that are like, Pokemon Go is dead, which I'm sorry, but if you go to a news site and they're running a headline that says Pokemon Go is dead, and I'm not going to name names. Okay, I will. It's Forbes. But if you're going to go to a site like that, that runs those types of headlines, like you need to be skeptical about how much this website, how would you say it? Game exaggerates. I think the gamers that like to exaggerate.
When you're looking for your video game news, do you think first, man, I got to go to Forbes and see what they think?
Yeah, but Forbes is great at writing real fucking clickbait headlines. And I'm in a mood today, so I'm calling people out this week. And
all right.
I'm starting with Forbes because I'm sick of it.
Yes, let the hatred fill.
No, I'm fucking sick of the clickbait on that website. It's not as bad as Motley Fool. That's the fucking worst. But Forbes has some of the most clickbaity Nintendo hate boner things that they publish just to get Nintendo fans to click on their website. So I'm calling it like it is tonight. I don't care. So anyway, so if I see another Forbes article with a link that says Pokemon Go is dead, my eyes are going to roll so far back in my head I can see my brain. My point is people are still playing this game. Is it as many as were playing it when we had this cultural event back in July of last year? No. But is it pretty strong right now, especially compared to maybe 3 months ago when there was, you know, not as much going on?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of mobile games out there that would love to have what Niantic has, right? So, you know, from that perspective of what we were doing downtown, like, it was actually a lot of fun. The game was running mostly fine, except for the fact that the game has a tendency to crash a lot on my phone, which is, I don't know if that's a Niantic issue or a phone issue.
Sounds
or
like a phone issue.
Or both. I don't know, because my other friends, like, it crashes a lot. Even and Alan has Android, I have iPhone.
Maybe I don't play it long enough for it to crash.
Maybe, or you don't use the Poco Plus, which could be one of it. I don't know. So, but anyway, my point is that, yes, there are still quite a few people playing the game, right? So, of course, there was a great interest in this event. It sold out very quickly. They had 20,000 people, some odd, that were going to this event. And so to hear that it turned out like, oh, I don't know, that fire festival that happened in the Bahamas in some ways was pretty disappointing to
hear. At least, so, unlike that fire festival, they got their money back.
Well, they also weren't trapped on a desert island, yes. Right? So, I mean, there's that to be thankful
for. It was in Chicago.
So anyway, here's my thing. I could sit here and continue to theorize, well, based on what I saw, or based on what must be happening at the festival. Then I was like, wait a minute, Rob, you idiot. You know somebody that went to Chicago Pokemon Go Fest. Why don't you invite him on the show to talk about what it was really like at Pokemon Go Fest? Because, you know, there's all this stuff in these publications that tend to game-exaggerate things. Or focus on just the worst of it, but there may be some good that went with the bad. So I reached out to my buddy Charles, also known as Rock God of Podcast or Rock God of Pod on Twitter. He is one of the hosts of the Pokemon Go podcast, which is a show I plugged here a couple weeks ago because they were good enough to have me on it. So I reached out to Charles. Unfortunately, he had another paying gig tonight, so he could not be here on the show live. So we had to kind of work real fast. He sent us a really lengthy audio clip explaining like his time at the festival. Unfortunately, I wanted to scale it back a little bit because it was, you know, it is only a 3-hour show here. So I wanted to scale it back a little bit. So I kind of cut out some of these parts that I want you guys to hear here. So let's check in with, oh, but if the audio is a little weird, it's because I edited it like an hour ago. So if there's any sloppiness, it's on my part. So I apologize to Charles and to the listeners for that. But let's check in with Charles and check and see how his day kind of started over there in Chicago.
Hey, Rob, Jamie, and Loki at Orange Lounge Radio. It's the Rock God of Podcasting, Charles McFall from Pokemon Go Podcast. And let me tell you what it's really like being there at Pokemon Go Fest. Now, line started at 6 a.m., and there were people out there, I'm sure, at 6 a.m., lined up. Myself and the people I was traveling with, we walked from the hotel. We stayed about 2 blocks away from the park. And so we were walking down, and as we came up on the park, there's this massive line. Stretch out, went, oh crap, you know, where, because our people, we had somebody standing in line for us for the early entry. We did have early entry badges, which were supposed to get you in starting at 9 a.m. The general public started at 10 a.m. And the line, basically the short version is, that line was not for early entry, that was for the regular entry people, and it was already super long. We got in, say, 9:30. It took us about 30-ish minutes to make it around the fence and into the entranceway. And they were checking bags in, but it was honestly, they weren't checking them that much. They were just kind of moving people through. Got in, and everybody, we're all hyped, right? Everybody's excited. And you get this envelope. As you walk in the door, you're handed an envelope, and it has a real-world patch that is the exact same thing that you get in the game. That's the medal in the game for being there. It's a patch version of the medal. And on the other side is a QR code. And you had to go to any stop inside the park that had a lot of temporary cool stops, and gyms, which tells us they can absolutely do the stop/gym for pay idea that we've been talking about on our show forever. Anyway, and right down the middle as you come in is all the concessions and everything. It's really actually, I'm going to say from a functional human being standpoint, they did an amazing job setting this up. It was easy to find the food. They had water stations. They had at least 2, if not 3 water stations around to get to free water. So you brought your own bottle. You can bring in 2 bottles of water sealed or empty pouches. And they weren't that strict about it. The prices, I expected $8 to $10 per person to eat. And I'm talking about, you know, you go to a festival, you're talking about a pizza is $10, water's $5. You know, no, my pizza, my honest to God, real Chicago restaurant, you know, they made it in the restaurant and brought it to the park very quickly. It was still hot when it got there. Real Chicago sliced pizza. I'm holding up my fingers like you can see me, but a big, huge triangle. $5. $5. A bottle of water was like $2. It was insanely cheap to be there, so that was really cool.
Let me Let me jump in here for a minute to talk about some of what Charles said there. And obviously, sorry about some of the audio there. There's some tearing effects in audio and the audio that we got sent. But my understanding is that Charles like actually recorded that in a car in a parking lot on the way to one of his gigs. So really appreciate him taking the time out to do that. But some of the audio was a little shaky. I didn't have time to clean it up. But on that note, I noticed there was some bad and there was some good in there. So it sounds like Charles was fortunate. He had this early entry thing and a buddy. So he got into this thing early. But there was this huge line. You guys all saw this on the media and some of the Twitter, right? There was this huge line. Yes. There's a huge line going around the whole place that it was hard for people to get in and stuff, right? So, I mean, it was taking like forever for people to get into this place. And what blew my mind about it is that it sounded like, from what Charles is saying there, they really weren't doing much. They weren't really like scanning the bags that deeply or whatever. So what was taking so long? And here's the other thing. So now comparing Charles's experience to my experience a little bit, when I went to Niantic's Ingress Anomaly over Veterans Day weekend last year when I missed the show. That's where I was at. I was at a Niantic event in Chicago. They did check-ins the night before for the Ingress event. You were able to go to a bar that was in the downtown area, and you could check in at the bar the night before and get your stuff. And then, you know, we all went to the Anomaly. Now, granted, I understand there was maybe 1,500 people that did the Ingress event compared to, what, 20,000? So I understand the size
which
and scope.
I think would be all the more reason to have the check-in
exactly.
The night before.
That's what blew my mind is I was like, why didn't they do check-ins the night before? Were they that concerned about resales, spoofers? I don't know what it was. But it really blew my mind that, like, for this smaller event, Niantic did something. But then for this larger event, they didn't. But then Charles does point out there is some good stuff that you're not hearing about in these news stories. It sounds like from a functional standpoint, you know, the vendors were reasonable and they weren't trying to price gouge people or any of that stuff. And that, you know, as far as like a am I going to get food and water situation, it was fine. Unlike, you know, even though we're joking about Fire Festival, those people that were trapped in the Bahamas were having a food and water situation as well, which is a lot more serious. But it sounds like that was never an issue with the Pokemon Go Fest, and that was doing very well. So let me continue on with another clip from Charles.
And so we get over, this is all at 9:30 in the morning, and we get over there, and I'm spending some stuff, and the game starts kind of getting clunky. I'm trying to go into a raid. And I'm like, well, I'm going to fight this Pikachu raid. Raid battles were free all day long. Did not take any passes at all. Raid battles inside the park, 100% free. And they were doing them. They would be a 10-minute warning time, like a raid's going to start in 10 minutes. And they would pop into 14-minute uptime. And they had gyms. I think they had 8 gyms in there. So there's plenty of places for people to play and get to. And I started to do the Pikachu raid, and I hit the thing, it put me in a room, and then it kind of locked and did anything, and then the game crashed. And somebody else was like, I can't get the QR code work, they were having issues, and they finally got theirs to work. And that's at 9:30 in the morning, so already it's like, At 10 o'clock, I don't know when they actually started the actual public coming in. They had a big enough gate that you could funnel both lines in easily, but the thing is, that 9 o'clock early ban, they gave out way too many of those bans. Because at 10:30, almost 11, on the back side of the park, I mean, the line would be super, super long. People were still there. And we didn't go up and ask, are you in the early entry line? But this is at 11 o'clock, almost. No, it's about 10:30, I guess. It's about 10:30. And the early entry Quoddy Fingers people seem to be still lined up and trying to come in. I've heard that it took 3 hours of standing in line. No, I'm not talking about the early get here at 6 a.m. people. From the time 10 o'clock hit, it took 3 hours to get through the general public line and get into the park. And that was frustrating for a lot of people. And I was tweeting that. We had some friends who did not get early passes that were in the general, and they were tweeting. They spoke among our radio, and we're telling them, you're not missing anything. We can't play. Nothing's connecting here. What 10:30, 11, maybe it's closer to 11. I said, all right, everybody come to the main stage. We're going to kick this thing off. And I'm looking around there. I was like, there's only maybe 1,000 people in the park right now. Maybe 2. I mean, when it's a huge open space, it's hard to kind of gauge how many people are in. But like, of the 20,000 people who are supposed to be here, you haven't gotten very many in the park yet.
What's interesting about that is that watching the live feed, I would not have guessed that they had not filled the park yet. In fact, my thought was, I'm hearing all this stuff on Twitter about all these people stuck in line, which Charles talks about there. Can you imagine you travel from California, and some people came further. You travel from California to Chicago to go to the first Pokemon Go event, only to stand in line for 3 hours and know that you're missing the first event inside the park, even though, punchline, no one in the park can play either. But the people outside may not actually know that. So can you imagine how frustrated like people are going to be at this event? And this is why things started to get ugly, which we're going to hear about in a little bit. But with the whole, you know, what Charles is talking about with the lines and everything, I mean, again, I'm blown away that Niantic did not have line management for 20,000 people and that it took 3 hours for people to get into this event, which was, you know, part of the ugliness to begin with, right? So again, why didn't they do check-ins the day before, you know, for some people? And why didn't they have more staff, more points of entry? Like, it should be simple math, right? How long it's going to take one person to
process.
They
know how many tickets they sold.
They know how many tickets they sold, and so they should know how long it's going to take to process those people. That blows me away. I mean, I know a lot of anime conventions and stuff have long waits sometimes, but, you know, again, a lot of rookie mistakes.
Cough, Anime Expo.
Well, a lot of rookie mistakes sometimes with this stuff. I remember Square Enix's first Final Fantasy Fan Fest in 2014 was a huge problem because they had a printer break, and they didn't have a backup printer. So all those people had to wait while somebody like ran to Office Depot to get a printer or something like that. It was crazy. So anyway, I don't know if there was more stuff like that at Pokemon Go Fest or what. Anyway, I did cut some stuff here about Charles was talking about that some of the like shirts and things they were selling in the park were not a great quality. Like they just weren't even selling Team Valor or anything. Apparently the bootleggers outside, because you know there's always bootlegs.
Of course.
The bootleggers had better stuff from what Charles was saying. But I want to get to this next clip because Charles says something here that I think is really damning for the whole excuse Niantic is giving us. So listen up.
If people start chanting, we can't log in, we can't connect or something like that. I forget what the chant was.
We can't play.
But they're yelling at her and she's ignoring it. And the first person she introduced is John Hankey. And people are boo. No, we understand. Things are... You know, we're working on it. He handled it well, but I mean, there's somebody so loud up front yelling at him that it's coming through the microphone a little bit and back out to the PA so we could kind of hear it. And he handled it like a pro. I mean, he took his punches, but they're like, you know, but he did. He made a major mistake to me. Oh, no, we're contacting the cell places. And I'm going, in my mind, I'm going, okay. And actually, I said this to the people around me. Here's the bottom line on the cell service. You'll hear all kind of rumors about no contract obligations, blah, blah, bullshit. Here's the thing. Now, in real world, there are absolutely coverage areas, right? So some parts of the park I had much better service with the Verizon than in other parts of the park. But that was true for AT&T. You know, it all kind of covered a little differently. But here was the thing. Even at that point, there's maybe, like I said, maybe 2,000 people at the most, which would not overload any cell tower anywhere. And they're like, yeah, we're working with them. No, it's your servers, because I can live stream, which I did. I did some live streams right there from the park. I can Twitter. I can get my messages. I can get on Discord. I can open up another game and play it. I can do all kinds of stuff on my phone that touches the internet, but I cannot play your game.
I can Twitter, I can Discord, I can live stream. Do you know how much bandwidth it takes to live stream? But I can't play your game. And you're going to go blame the cell towers as the issue. But I can live stream. Huh. Isn't that funny?
Well, maybe if he wasn't live streaming, they'd have enough bandwidth for the game.
Damn it, Charles, you broke the whole damn thing. You single-handedly broke GoFest with your live stream.
No, I'm not surprised that their servers are crap.
But, I mean, and I think Charles brings this up, and I think it's in something that I cut out, but he brings up that, you know, Dragon Con, 80,000 people. People play this game at Disneyland every day. They don't have problems. It was something about what they were doing with this event and the restrictions they were putting on this event, some of the graphical issues of the game, and just the poor optimization, I guess, all around of the game, really, in some ways. It kind of all contributed to this. But to blame the cell networks when people are able to be on Twitter, live stream, tell the rest of the internet what a shitty time they're having, that's a little disingenuous.
Yeah, I can
right?
understand if like they couldn't, if like internet access was a problem, that would make more sense. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case, especially when it's only your game that's not working.
So here was the first thing I thought of. The first thing I thought of when I heard all of this was going down yesterday was, why didn't they just have Wi-Fi? And granted, 20,000 people is probably a lot to have on Wi-Fi, but they do it at airports somehow. And, you know, I'm sure at least even if they – let's say they could only get – maybe the VIP people that got in early also got the Wi-Fi. I don't know. So maybe 2,000 people get on Wi-Fi. Well, that's still 10% off the rest of this if you're going to blame the networks, which I'm not so sure – obviously based off the live streaming comment that it really is. But still, I think that question, why wasn't there Wi-Fi? Well, Charles has an answer.
They did not have the Wi-Fi as promised, but there was I heard, again, these are quote rumors, they didn't announce this, but I heard that because of the massive rainstorms that came through on Friday, and there were massive rainstorms on Friday, I got soaked a little bit Friday night, they weren't able to set up the Wi-Fi stuff. And it was even raining a little bit Saturday morning, but then the sun came out by 9 o'clock, and it was gorgeous all day. Anyway, so they do the hunt, and most people can't do it. So then they call everybody back to the stage, and I mean, now it's worse. People are woo and yelling, and like, all right. Yeah. And finally, she just stopped talking, just left the stage. That was it. I mean, she basically got booed off the stage. And so we just started milling around. So the rest of the day is much shorter than that first part of the story. The rest of the day, things got better. I couldn't play at all until, I mean, I was, like I said, I was there at 9:30, couldn't play at all until 12:30. And the only way I could play there, I call it the filthy casual mode, right? You just turn on your plus, or for me, the gotcha, which is even more filthy casual, because it's automatic. And that's it. You don't play the game. You just let it run in the background and see what it spins, what it catches. But that became the only way for me to play. I could get my game to come up just long enough to connect it to my gotcha and then close the screen, and it would start throwing regular Pokeballs at whatever was around me. A lot of things were getting better. People were getting pissed. But here's the thing, the line to get out. So they had an in and out policy, and you had to do your wristband. You boop it out. As I say, you just boop, and you're out. And they stamp you, too, apparently. But then you can come back in, and you boop back in. The line to leave was so long, people were just staying out of frustration because it was taking you an hour to try to even get out of the park. You might as well just stay. But some of the experience, the dream that we were sold, right, of everybody playing together and doing this, some of that absolutely was present because I'm standing on the sidewalk and all of a sudden the crowd politely, some kind of run, nobody's pushing, nobody's pushing, everybody's polite, and they move en masse to this area. And I'm like, what's going on? There's a hair cross over here. And you get to hear people are trying to get, oh, yeah, oh, my God, I got it. Oh, no, right away. You know, that experience was absolutely, in small droves, there.
And, you know, I've been feeling a lot of that this weekend, too, throughout Pokemon Go. Because now that they've unleashed those legendaries, you know, if you didn't already hear, you can get Lugia and I always say Articuno, but I might be saying that wrong. But because I thought it was Arctic, and anyway, but those legendaries are out there, and you can go catch them now. And I got to tell you, I've had some really rad experiences. Like, you know, I got at a Discord and an Articuno spawn near here, and met up with some other people I didn't know, but other nerds from all types of people, men, women, all different shapes, sizes, colors, all that, just wanting to get their damn legendary in their Pokédex. And that was really cool to kind of come together and do that. And then we played some more. In fact, I almost killed myself playing Pokemon Go today because I was an idiot, and they've been doing all these bonuses all weekend, like the double – well, not all weekend, but since the event, the double Stardust and everything. I thought it would be a good idea to go play Pokemon Go in the 100-degree heat today. Even though, yes, I had sunblock. Yes, I was hydrating myself, but it was still maybe a little bit much. But anyway, I'm okay. I didn't pass out like I thought I was going to for a minute. But I was even able to do the Lugia fight, and we won it. And there was 40 people there in the middle of downtown Roseville doing this Lugia fight. When these things are spawning everywhere right now, 40 people in the middle of a suburb just there to do this stupid game. So, I mean, some of that that's been happening is really awesome. So it's kind of a bummer that Niantic is still, like, I guess too small of a company or something to figure out some of these technical issues, because the game they've got is fucking great when it works, which unfortunately is only about half the time. And I got to say, too, because some of our folks in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, let's see, over at live.vognetwork.com, they're talking about the host. I guess her name is Rachel Seltzer. I don't know her, but VidPower in chat says she's an esports commentator. And probably what Charles doesn't know, being on the ground, if he was a little far back from the stage, but what you could see on the live stream, I think she left the stage because someone threw a shoe at her or a bottle or something at her, and it wasn't safe to be out there. And I think that's the real reason she left, which, you know, I understand people are pissed, but that's a shitty thing to do. And if you threw that, you should feel bad because you're a bad person, you know, because do you think she's the one that, like, went and unplugged the AT&T van? Do you think that was her idea?
Especially if it's shoe, because now you're missing a shoe.
I think it was a bottle. I don't think it was. Just, I always assume a rock concert or something is a shoe. But whatever it was, whatever they fucking threw at her, it's not okay. It's not cool. And look, I get that she was a little cheesy. I understand that. I did feel a little bit like, wow, tone it down, honey. But
can we stop having influencers at these events, please?
I think it's part that. It's part influencers, but then I also have to remember, there are a lot of children that play Pokemon Go, and if you ever turn on Nickelodeon, you see a lot of people that are like her. So I kind of have to, like, go, okay, maybe she's not for me. She's for the kids and, you know, whatever. But I also kind of agree that influencers as hosts, I don't know about that. But anyway, that's another debate for another time. Anyway, I want to get to the final thought here. I do want to caution, this last clip does have a little bit of audio tearing in it, but I did think it was important for Charles to get his final thoughts out here in this clip from being on the ground at Pokemon Go Fest.
But this is the last thing I'll say, is how do they not understand the effing tech that goes into this? How do you not understand? I get on launch, you never anticipated this. But you know, at this point, what happens when you go into a new country, all of a sudden, bam, you're flooded. You launch a brand new thing like the gym revamp, bam, things kind of break. And that's tech, I get that. But when you're doing a festival, you had to have had this stuff launched 2 weeks ago in the code. I don't care if it spoils it. I don't care about data miners. You had to have this launched 2 weeks ago so you could have beta tested it in your office, just made your office a special playground, you know, with that geo-locking, worked it out, got triple the amount of servers you're going to need. Paid whatever you had to pay to all the cell providers to make sure they were boosting signal or whatever. It just was frustrating that they don't seem to ever understand how this tech works and how it affects the community. But a lot of people were happy, met a lot of strangers, talked to a lot of people, and it was a lot of fun. I really do. I left there, especially with knowing I was going to get the Lugia anyway. Leaving there, I left feeling good, and I feel like this year's going to be a hard learning curve for them, but if they really are committed to doing this again, doing more, they're really going to have to hire some massive event planners that do outside events. That, I mean, I'm talking about big companies that are going to cost you some money, but they know exactly what to do, and then really get their servers right. So that's it. I'm Charles McPalmer. I've got a podcast, and check out Pokemon Go podcast at PokemonGoPodcast.com, and we're here every week, and we were honored to have Rob on a couple of weeks ago. Got lots of great feedback from you, man. Everybody's loved you, so definitely come back again.
I absolutely will, Charles, and thank you so much for leaving that. Again, I had to edit down a 27-minute message down to the 10 or 11 minutes we played here, but Charles took time out of his day to leave that for us, and I really, really appreciate that, especially with such a fast turnaround, because I literally messaged him last night, like, we should really get you on OLR this week since you were there, and I want to know what it was like on the ground. So thank you, Charles, for leaving that message for us. Everybody check out Pokemon Go podcast. He will tell much more about a lot more of the details on that program, but I want to thank him for giving us a little preview here.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase bread.
But I thought it was interesting that despite all that, Charles kind of said, you know, I had a pretty good day, you know, when all is said and done. And I guess that, again, goes to the strength of the community. And then, you know, he talks also as well there about how Niantic, again, from a technical perspective, was not prepared for this. But I do feel like, you know, and I've been obviously a longtime supporter of Niantic here on the show because I've played Ingress for a long time on and off, and now this Pokemon Go thing on and off. But there's got to come a point where I have to give a little, Niantic a little tough love. And it's time for Niantic to grow the fuck up or sell. Like this, and from my perspective, this is the crossroads Niantic is at. And this festival kind of only proves that for me. They either need to grow the fuck up, meaning they're going to have to get the bodies in there. They're going to have to get the investors or the people or somehow raise the funds to get the staffing and be the large company that a game like Pokemon Go needs, or sell to a company who can do it. Because after this whole thing happened, my honest to God first reaction when I heard they went up on stage and said everybody's getting a refund and we're going to give out $100 in Pokecoins, my honest to God reaction was they're going to be sold next week. Niantic's going to be forced to sell to somebody next week to a company who can handle the infrastructure.
God, please don't sell to Nintendo. They can't handle the infrastructure.
Well, here's the weird thing. Niantic was a Google company. The only reason Niantic is no longer a Google company is because Google did that whole Alphabet split that they did a couple years ago, and Niantic was kind of left out of that, but that was because they had the backing from Nintendo now. But we didn't know that at the time. We know it now. They had the backing from Nintendo, and Google is still a major backer in this. So I sort of think it would make a lot of sense for Google to kind of bring them back, but at the same time, there's a lot of business elements there that I will fully admit I don't understand, but I just feel like after the disaster that happened in Chicago, something's got to give. This game has got to grow the fuck up because there's a lot of potential in this game that keeps getting ruined by technical things that like can't be handled. And, you know, again, I think one of the most damning things is what Charles pointed out there, the whole fact that Niantic is trying to blame the cell phone companies, yet I was live streaming, I was tweeting, I was on Discord. It's not the cell phone companies. It's your game. So, anyway. Any thoughts, Loki? I know you're a Pokemon, a Dark Soccer. Anything you guys want to add based on like what Charles said and what your thoughts on the event?
I don't know. I played a little bit this weekend while I was at a park with my kids. And I was expecting some different spawns. I got a Poliwag or whatever that is, which I thought is a water Pokemon. So it's kind of weird that it's spawning at a park. But yeah, other than that, I was like, I don't want to play this anymore.
Let me get to some comments from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com because, of course, we do tape live Sunday nights at 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern at vognetwork.com. JD over in chat says, how many chances are we going to continue to give Niantic to get their shit together? They have clearly demonstrated that they learned absolutely nothing from the past year of running the game. As Joe and Hunter Matt says, if you, Niantic, didn't expect this outcome, then you didn't learn from the disaster when the game first came out. Let's see. JD wonders who would Niantic even sell to? Like, I mean, I don't think Google would take them back. SSJ 100 Matt proposes Amazon. Come on, Noel Gus says, Niantic is that X that you can't quit, but should. That's kind of how I feel about Ingress once in a while. It's like, I really need to break up with you.
I did play a little bit of Ingress.
Yeah, it's like, once in a while, the sex is kind of good. You know? It's just
well, it was just like, okay, here's why I played Ingress.
Blowing up a portal feels real good once in a while.
Yeah, here's why I played Ingress this weekend. Because I was playing Pokemon Go, and I caught all the Pokemon in the area that I was sitting in, and nothing was spawning. I was like, okay, fuck this shit. Went to Ingress. Oh, hey, there's an unclaimed portal. Captured it. Hacked it. Shut it off.
Stoppy in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says about Charles's clip, this is like listening to a police confession. Maybe he was wearing a wire. It was a little bit like that. But as we know, Charles live streaming may have brought down the entire event. Yeah, we heard that. Let's see. Act Eft in chat says, I won't ever go back to Ingress. SG100 Matt says, I would buy it if they came out and said people were spoofing location or DDoSing to mess up the event. I mean, that's a gimme excuse. But the game was working everywhere else. And again, I want to point out, it's not all necessarily bad news. And that's why I'm not willing to say, because that would be a game exaggeration, that would be a Forbes headline to say, this game is shit, write it off as the shit it is and stop playing that shit. Because Pokemon Go isn't shit. It's just some of the tech behind it and some of the support the game is getting is shit.
I don't know about that. There's still no game to it yet other than collecting Pokemon.
I think the gym thing really, really revitalized. It gave the game a kick in the ass that it needed.
But
the
it's
gym
still, reboot and the there's raids, still no scoring, no game, no like, you know, teams, it doesn't fucking matter.
I still think for the folks that are collecting, there's a lot there to do.
Well, there's, yeah,
and the team bonuses, trust me, you need those extra balls when you're catching those legendaries. So, you know, there's is it perfect? No. Any mobile game that wants to stay relevant should continue to invent itself every few months. But anyway, I know this topic's gone on a long time. Again, I really want to thank Charles for leaving us that message and being a kind of a guest correspondent tonight on the show. And I want to encourage anybody who does love Pokemon Go, like I still do, but even you still get frustrated with people that you love once in a while, check out Pokemon Go podcast because there's a lot of great discussion there, and I'm sure he'll tell us much more that we didn't get here on the show tonight. It's going to be an interesting next couple weeks to see what the fallout truly is from this. And if Niantic really does try to do this again in 2018, you know, John Hankey teased on stage a Pokemon Go 2018, and this was before the refund chat. So we'll see. We'll see. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. We got to get to some more stories because there's a lot of gaming stories that happened this week. But of course, it would not be a show unless we talked about our own gaming weeks and the types of video games that you've been playing this week. So, Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I finally beat the main story of Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 while streaming with all of three people watching at 3 a.m. It was fun. It's cute. I will go back and replay all the scenarios in order for anyone who wants to see them. That's kind of it, other than the cell phone games.
And so you are streaming again. So if people aren't following you on Twitch, they can follow you at...
Basically streaming when I'm bored. But it's DarkSakura_OLR.
Okay, awesome. And you are hosted. I double-checked the VOG Network, or the VOG Network on Twitch hosts you automatically, so...
All right, I'll set up all the hosting stuff, but like I spent like an hour or so putting together my offline banner and whatnot, which is...
It's important.
A combination of the style for the Danganronpa things and then my Dragon Ball character.
Are you going to continue to do Dragon Ball, or is there other games you're looking at doing? Are you going to do Dream Daddy? Because that's the one everybody's doing right now.
I haven't bought Dream Daddy yet, so I'm not going to play that one since everyone else is.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to do Danganronpa, Ultra Despair Girls, and How to Fool Boyfriend and Holiday Star down the line.
Nice.
And I don't know. I'll find something else kind of weird and interesting to stream.
Right. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't really play anything, honestly. I played very little of the Office Space clicker game. I'm kind of getting bored of it. And then Pokemon Go, I haven't really played that much this week, maybe once or twice at the most. And Ingress, like I said, I touched it for like maybe 2 minutes and that was it. I meant to play Super Hot VR cause I have that now, but, I just hadn't gotten around to setting it up. I still want to get one of those Oculus Rifts, but $400 is a lot of money right now.
Yeah, it is.
I still want it, but it's hard to like. If I had known that like a couple months ago, I could have budgeted better. But yeah, it's not working out right now.
All right, my gaming week. Obviously, I played a lot of Pokemon Go, as I've talked about earlier. Continuing to play the Final Fantasy XII HD remaster. I've now passed the point in this one than I did when I originally played the game on PlayStation 2. So that's really cool. So I've been playing more of that, and I love the remaster. Unfortunately, I keep getting distracted by groups for Final Fantasy 14 because I'm still trying to run my characters in that.
This is a story that I don't think was in our show roll, but I saw this somewhere because they were complaining about it. I haven't read on it.
Okay.
It was in other territories is what it was. Now I remember now. They had raised the cost, the monthly fee for other territories outside the U.S. To get in line. So like in other areas, like it was equivalent of like $45 a month.
Wow.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
That's weird. For Final Fantasy 14?
Well, yeah, it's for like other territories that don't, like, economically, they're not up to our level.
Okay.
So, like, that was, like, you know, quite a bit of money.
Interesting. I'd like to know, what does World of Warcraft cost in those countries? Like, is that a competitive price?
You know? I don't know, yeah.
Who knows? Interesting. Well, anyway, here, it's the game's still running great, and I'm having a good time. You know, they did a little patch this week. They put out the raids not that long ago, and now you can get the more advanced tomes. So there's more stuff to explore, so I've been doing that. I think I did a live stream earlier this week of Final Fantasy XIV. And then this weekend, I've been playing a bit of Splatoon 2. Just came out. So I did pick up Splatoon 2 on the Switch, and I've been playing that. And I'm, you know, it is... There are a lot of similarities to Splatoon 1, obviously. The multiplayer feels very, very similar, but Splatoon 1's multiplayer wasn't exactly broken in the formula of how the game works, so they didn't change a lot, so I think that's good. I do love it on the Switch because of the fact that you can do the portable as well, so I can kind of play it while I'm in bed and do the multiplayer stuff that way. I can play it on the TV. And I can use, the dog-ear controller if I want. I've been trying to force myself to learn motion controls, but one thing I'm finding is that I just can't do it if I'm playing a paint roller, which I tend to do in multiplayer mode. Like, I just don't see how motion control benefits the paint roller thing. Somebody was trying to tell me, oh, well, for the splashing, and that, it was like, I can't do it. It throws me off so much. But I was enjoying, like, there's like a gun that kind of like, it fires a lot of paint in a straight line. It's supposed to be like a sniper rifle, basically. Yeah. So I was really enjoying like how that weapon was functioning. So I was like trying to play with it. And I did find that using motion controls for that is a little more like mouse. It feels, it feels a lot better than, say, like the Wii U or the Wii or whatever, because obviously motion controls have progressed a lot now that we're here on the Switch. So the motion controls, like, they feel nice, but yet my scores in those matches were atrocious. So I must not know what the fuck I'm doing with the sniper rifle, but, like, I'm trying to learn the motion control. But when I play single player mode, I'm kind of, like, forcing myself to use motion control, and I'm doing okay. It has a lot of the same stuff from Splatoon 1, but it's just different now because they have a new single-player mode. There is a co-op mode, but admittedly, I've done nothing other than the tutorial, so I don't have a lot to say about that yet. I've just been trying to focus on the multiplayer when I have been playing it. I've been losing a lot of matches, but I've been winning a few, so I do feel like the game might be waiting, because I noticed there's this little icon where this number changes, and I'm like, is that like my streak balance or something, where like if I'm winning a lot of matches, it's going to give me harder opponents. If I'm losing a lot, it's going to give me easier ones. I think that might be what it's doing, because it does feel like I don't lose a lot in a row until I finally win one. So, props to the matchmaking in that regard. I know it's coming up later in the show about Nintendo's whole app and all that stuff. Admittedly, I haven't even tried the online, like trying to find to play with a friend, or I haven't touched it, because everybody and everything on the internet is just, it's garbage. So I'm like, I'm not going to touch it yet. Anyway, I do.
Is there other ways to, like, set up games without the app?
You can just go in to join a friend in progress. And I think some people did that for me, because I saw a Twitter handle that follows me on Twitter, and I was like, I think that person's a Twitter, but I don't know, because the game doesn't tell you, oh, this is your friend, or, whatever. It doesn't tell you anything about who's joining your match or when, or guaranteeing putting you on the same team or anything like that. Anyway, I do plan to do Splatoon 2 after the show tonight, so maybe I'll learn a little bit more about the multiplayer then, but It definitely is not, it's not Overwatch. Let's put it that way. It is not the matchmaking capabilities of a game like Overwatch or Call of Duty or one of those things. And I think we all know that based on what we're hearing of the app, which we'll hear a little more about later on in the show. But I've just accepted the fact that I'm playing mostly with randoms, and it's fine. But, like, if somebody joins my game and it says, let's say, because the name that shows up is just the name you play with on the Wii. So let's say somebody joins my game and it's Shane. Is it the Shane I know from Ranger Pride that comes on this show occasionally? Or is it just some other guy that happens to be named Shane? I don't know, because the game doesn't tell me. So there's a lot of weird shit when it comes to the online support that I feel like they still have to figure out. And I feel like maybe the team has one vision, but then it's like Nintendo's infrastructure might limit them on some things. So I'm hoping through patches they're able to make some more of this make sense. But as far as the game itself, I'm fine. Like, I feel like I might even be having a little more fun with it this time than I was when I first played it on Wii U, just because I feel like I understand the game a little better just from watching other people play it in live streams and stuff. So, I mean, that part's cool. I do feel like when I do the paint roller, I am learning how to do things, like how to sneak up on people. Like, I got an ability that makes when I swim, I'm more like a ninja. I'm a lot harder to spot. So I'm getting really good at swimming up behind people and splatting them with a roller. So, like, I'm learning little tricks like that. And that does feel really good that, like, oh, I'm progressing this time. That's nice. So there you go. Anyway, Let's see. I'm trying to look in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. It sounds like ACDEFT had some real issues getting the game. I guess Amazon strikes again. ACDEFT says I'll have to wait until Tuesday. And that's because, it's UPS or USPS's fault, which I think are the vendors that Amazon uses, Anyway, let's see. Other comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. ACDEFT is definitely blaming Amazon as I scroll up there. What's happening there? I don't see a lot of other people that have been playing Splatoon commenting on that, but maybe we'll get some more there. So, I've been enjoying the game. I will probably enjoy it more when they can make the friends and joining people seamless. And this whole fact that co-op mode is only available some of the time, which is so fucking weird to me.
Yeah, I saw your post on that. I was like, so it's like up for 24 hours and then down for 24 hours?
Well, that's what I heard it was supposed to be. But then this weekend, it's been mostly up, except it'll be down for random ass 2 hour periods. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like a lot of Nintendo Online things, it doesn't make sense. And this continues the trend, which is unfortunate because the game is a lot of fun when, you know, you can play it. So anyway. Hmm. All right. Let's move on. I want to get into some gaming news because I know we're going to talk about this Nintendo Online thing in a little bit. Just some quick announcements. First off, we will not be here over Labor Day weekend. I will be in Atlanta at Dragon Con. So if you are in the Southeast area, anywhere near Atlanta, you should come to Dragon Con and have fun. Party with us. I should know a little more about panels, appearances, things like that a little closer to the show. So I'll be plugging those again. You can find me at Dragon Con. I'll be there. Bobby Blackwolf would be there. I think John from Critical Myth is there. I know some other folks from VOG Network. I don't know the full roll call, but I know some other folks will be there too. So it'll be a lot of fun. All right, let's get into some gaming news for tonight's Loki, starting us off.
So in like, I never asked for this news. Atari has announced that they're releasing a new console. The Atari Box.
Mm-hmm.
It's a PC-based system that's going to play old and current games. They haven't announced the price point. They've released a picture, though, that looks kind of neat, like the faux wood grain on the front there and the glowing Atari logo. And then they also have one, I think, that resembles the 7800, maybe, with a red logo and all black. So that's literally all we know about it right now, other than I guess they said they're going to be funding the console via crowdfunding. Hooray! And we listening closely to community feedback. Although it reminds me so much of like the Coleco Chameleon, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think you're supposed to put water in that.
I think that the crowdsourcing on there is probably more of a desperate attempt for them to, you know, try to make sure they can get the money on it. But I don't get why. I looked at it and I just was like, why?
Well, I mean, it depends. Like, some of the Atari's games are very interesting. Like, I don't know if they've had so many Atari consoles come out, like the whole flashback consoles. I don't know if I'd really want to play more like 2600 games or anything like that. But I'd be interested to see, like, you know, other Atari games that, like, maybe, hell, let's do arcade. Imagine, like, arcade titles. Like, if they had, like, good emulation of arcade titles, like San Francisco Rush.
But I think that their whole thing that they're going for is the classic Atari.
Well, everything's classic now for Atari.
But, I mean, the real classic Atari. The 2600, the 5200, and the 7800.
I don't know. I hope that there's more to it than just that, because I don't see why I would need to get a console for that.
Okay, sorry, guys. Loki made the offhanded comment about the water because I just spilled water all over the keyboard. So I'm going to pray that I still have a working keyboard, or trying to finish tonight's show is going to be interesting. But in the meantime, so that's why I got real quiet there for a minute. Am I to understand that this thing is like if the Ouya and an Atari flashback console had a baby?
Yep.
Is that basically what this is?
Well, as far as we know right now, because all we know is that it's a box and that it's going to have some sort of components inside of it. As far as what it's going to do and how powerful it is and how much it costs and how they're going to fund it and how can I buy one, we don't know any of that.
But now, am I wrong in thinking they just announced the Atari Flashback 8, 7 or 8 if I'm not...
8.
Yeah, they just announced that either this week. I don't know if somebody else holds the license for that or what have you. But I know they're getting Activision games this time.
Yeah, Activision games and HDMI out. It's going to do 720p.
So honestly, right now, I'm more jazzed about that flashback console. Because it's going to have Kaboom Capers and Pitfall and some of the Activision classics.
I don't know that I would want to play them in 1080p.
So why did I say Kaboom? I ran two games together. Kaboom and Keystone Capers are going to be in there. Anyway.
I don't know that I would want to play them in 1080p. Because I'll be honest, when we do Atari Party, we have ours hooked up to some pretty nice high-res monitors, and it just doesn't look the same. I like my flicker.
It's all good. They're just going to anti-alias the whole thing. It'll just be one fuzzy mess.
But that's what – I mean, to be fair, I mean, most people that buy these flashback consoles aren't – I don't know what the word would be – classic gaming purists, I guess, for lack of a better term. The reality is most people don't have – those TVs anymore. So if they're going to buy a console like this, they have to have HDMI, right? Even though it might not look quite right. But anyway, my point is, as cool as these Atari flashback consoles sound, it sounds like this thing that's coming out is just one of those mashed with some type of open-ended question mark.
I mean, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt until
if it's crowdfunded, I'm not.
Well, right. Who said I'm going to back it? I'm not backing that shit. I mean, I'm just curious to see what it is. Like, I'm not pulling it. I learned my lesson with the Ouya. That's enough. Don't get me wrong. That shell looks awesome. Like, if anything, the very least, I'd love one of those, you know, Atari box with the wood grain on the front as a shell for, like, a Raspberry Pi or something like that. Because that shit looks nice. But, I mean, other than that, yeah, who knows? I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, and it's kind of just out of nowhere. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's very random, right?
You know, it's got SD card support as well. I don't know.
Going to live.vognetwork.com, Hitstun says, wait, we know what's in the Atari box? I was hoping for Jaguar games. Well,
it could be.
They haven't ruled it out, so Tempest.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Tempest 2000 could still be a reality, but don't count on it.
I just hope it's not their new Atari games, because apparently their new Atari games are really shit. Like, they're... Was it Roller Coaster Tycoon World? Apparently, it's not so good. And the last Alone in the Dark game that they put out was shit.
Doomplague in chat says, we're talking about a company that filed bankruptcy and sold all of its modern franchises, then said they would focus on casino games. Dungeon Buster says, I'm curious to see what it is, but my expectations are set way low for this thing. And that's probably the boat I'm in, is I'm like, ooh, I kind of want to get one of those Atari flashback consoles. Atari box? Crowdfunding? Good luck, guys. We'll see when you get all the details.
Well, at the very least, you know one of those is going to come out. The other one, on the other hand, you have no idea.
Yeah.
Because they say, oh, yeah, we're going to release this. It's going to crowdfund it. And no one gives a shit. And then it doesn't get crowdfunded.
All right. Well, another thing that's been going on this weekend is San Diego Comic-Con. And I know a lot of you guys have been watching for what's been coming out of that. Because there's always some announcements and things that can directly affect video games. For example, more characters being announced for Marvel versus Capcom Infinite. Some of the confirmations we got at San Diego Comic-Con include Frank West, Mike Hager, and Nemesis. So we got to see some of those in the game. And that's pretty cool because obviously Frank West from Dead Rising, very popular character. Mike Hager, Final Fight. So, you know, some good Capcom stars to be in that game, which I think, even though a lot of people are kind of like, I don't know.
They're all in the roster that leaked out a while ago. So, yeah.
But Dark Sakura, you still want to give this game a chance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Or do you look? Or will you be playing as Frank West, or Mike Hager, or Nemesis?
Mm.
We'll see. We'll see. Okay. So they released this on mobile phones this week. It is a crossover between Hello Kitty and Pac-Man. That's right. It's Hello Kitty and Pac-Man. It's in the regular Pac-Man mobile game, which is available on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. And what they did at Comic-Con, though, is that there's actually crossover-themed merchandise. And that part might be really cool. But let me tell you this. Alan saw the thing about Hello Kitty and Pac-Man and said, oh, Rob, you got to download the game. So I did. Fucking garbage. And I like a lot of retro stuff. And I like Pac-Man. I fucking have streamed Championship Edition 2. I think Championship Edition DX is great. Mobile phone game? Ass. Like, it's just, it's not good, guys. It's not good. I'm sorry. There's no nice way for me to put it. It just doesn't translate well to a mobile phone. Again, the lack of a tactile controller does not do it any favors. And these whole, like, it's a freemium game where you have to either buy the coins or earn the coins in these really basic mazes or just, it's just, it's
the
silly.
Stages do look kind of cute, though.
Ugh.
That's
hard,
about it.
Hard pass. All right. But something that I'm really curious to see if Loki's going to give a hard pass or a I'm going out to get in line right now is, of course, a lot of gamers are taking great interest in the upcoming movie for Ready Player One. And as Loki was hoping, the first teaser was indeed released at San Diego Comic-Con. And Loki, I'm dying to know, what'd you think?
It was fucking awesome.
Yeah?
Like, it's seriously, I've watched that trailer like 75 times already.
75 times.
Yeah, it's so, like, don't get me wrong, like, my wife read the book as well, and she said it was just garbage. I mean, it is. A lot of it's just like listing off shit from the 80s. That's fine. But along with that, if you just ignore the bad writing, because a lot of people ignore bad writing in both, like, you know, the 50 Shades of Grey, fucking Twilight,
yeah, yeah,
you know, all that shit. So they ignore the
Harry Potter. Just kidding. We're not saying
this is like fucking literally, this isn't like a literary masterpiece or anything like that. I'm not going to fucking say that at all. It's schlock, but it's got some awesome, you know, the story's pretty cool, and, like, the set pieces and, like, action that are described in there is just fucking amazing. Like, you read that and you're like, there's no way they can make this into a movie because it'd be fucking expensive with all the licensing they would have to do. And just looking at the trailer, because a lot of the stuff in the trailer, like half the trailer is not in the book. The whole racing thing is not part of the book. It's new. So it's good that they're deviating from that, but it looks so fucking cool.
I noticed. It's just like,
it's so goddamn awesome.
Like a big CG fest.
I don't care. I'm in.
It's in the future. I guess CG fest is a lot. But even I noticed, I was like, is that Freddy Krueger? Is that the Iron Giant? Like, what the fuck?
Fucking Freddy Krueger, the Iron Giant. They had Duke Nukem in there at one point. Deathstroke, Harley Quinn, you know, I mean, there's, like, tons of references to all sorts of stuff.
If it's in a Warner Brothers movie, it's probably in here somewhere.
And even, like, stuff that's, you know, maybe not Warner Brothers as well. I mean, so it looks really awesome. So I'm very down to see, you know, what this is going to be like. And, yeah, I'll be there day one. Absolutely. I mean, it's just... And then also, like the musical tones with it. I mean, it's just, like, so...
Yeah, I did enjoy the rush. See, I watched the trailer. I don't know shit about the book other than Loki's...
You gotta read the book. I have the book. You can read the book.
Loki's always very excited about it. Here's just a plot twist. It'll have a lot more chance of actually getting read if I get an audiobook. Just because for commutes and things like that, like, I just...
The audiobook is narrated by Will Wheaton, so...
Yeah. Well, that's cool. All right, but anyway... even I noticed with the trailer, I was like, all right, this looks like it could be, you know,
I don't read books, okay? I don't like reading books, but this book, I couldn't put it down.
I noticed Rush was in the trailer.
That's a big part of, in the spoiler for the book, I guess, in the book, there's a Guitar Hero type thing that he has to do, that he has to play Tom Sawyer, I think, or... I think that's what it was. It's been a while since I read the book, but
which I think that song was actually in Guitar Hero. So
I think he has to play that song or something like rock. He has to do a Guitar Hero type thing in there. But yeah, I mean it definitely it's all the people that were in the racer. They call them the Sixers. They're part of this internet company that's evil and shit. And so of course they're out to find, you know, the hidden Easter egg as well. So I mean they're using the power of money to be able to do all that. But yeah, I mean it's got like, you know, Artemis, one of the characters in the book, she's got a cross between Kaneda's bike from Akira and a Tron light cycle. And, you know, and of course, the main character, Wade, he's got, it's supposed to be a cross between the Ecto-1, the Back to the Future DeLorean, and the Knight Rider kit car.
This sounds like internet fanfic gone crazy.
It is.
Come on, Noel Gus in chat says Loki's body is ready.
Oh yeah, I was ready. I've been waiting for this trailer. And I was like, I was checking the internet and checking Twitter and shit like all day long on Saturday. I'm like, okay, when's this thing? When is it? And I saw it, I'm like, fuck yes, I'm watching that. And I was
Act Deft in chat says, can you really tell what the story's about with that trailer? Well, to be fair, it's a teaser, not a trailer. But
it's a teaser.
But still.
I mean, No, probably not from that. They didn't really explain what it was. It was just a teaser, but I mean, being that I've read the book, I know what the story's about.
Yeah. Did you see, now, just quickly, some of the other stuff? Like, Dar Sakhar, I know, aren't you a fan of Ms. Marvel? Didn't we get the first look at her today or yesterday?
I hadn't looked yet.
Oh, you should look. Let me know what you think. I'd be curious.
I watched a few of the other trailers, but I didn't really watch very many. I'm kind of waiting for the hype to die down, and then I'll make my own decision.
I just so rarely get out to movies anymore. It's just a bummer. I need to see more, but I just never do. Oh, well.
I did watch an odd trailer.
What'd you see?
For, I don't even know if the movie's already out or not, but it's called Cooties.
I really like the trailer for, what's the Oprah movie?
A Wrinkle in Time.
Yes, A Wrinkle in Time. This is the Oprah movie. Oprah's in it. And it had the Eurythmics cover in the trailer that I had to go find it on Spotify because I was like, all right.
I couldn't find it. I tried.
It is on the soundtrack to the movie Sucker Punch, believe it or not.
It's a different one. The one that they have in that trailer is not the same.
Oh, it's
everyone
not?
Says it is that one, but it's different.
Oh, I thought it was the...
No, I've listened to both of them. It's a completely different...
Maybe she remade it again.
It's different, yeah.
Interesting.
But this Cooties movie is weird. It has Elijah Wood in it. And it's about child zombies. That apparently...
Not another zombie movie.
They're apparently only susceptible to whatever it is if you haven't gone through puberty.
Oh, my bad. That's right. ActF says it was D23. Sorry, that was last week's news. My bad.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll allow it.
Blows together. All right.
I did watch all the Marvel trailers, and I watched the DC trailers as well. I'm still not hyped about Justice League. I'm sorry. I'm not a DC fan, but... Like, but you know what, though?
If they're smart, and when Joss Whedon took over, he just made it Wonder Woman, too. But we'll see.
No, Wonder Woman had a great part in it, and that stuff looked neat. It's just, I'm not still just on board. Like, it wasn't the same as, like, the Avengers. Like, this, I'm just like, I don't fucking care. It's kind of what it is. But, like, holy shit, the Lego movies, though, they're fucking knocking that shit out of the park. Because they had a new trailer for the Ninjago movie. Mm. Fucking hilarious. Just the humor that they have in those movies are just fantastic. So they had that, and of course the new Thor Ragnarok trailer looks awesome. And then I watched the bootleg of the Avengers Infinity War trailer, which looks pretty cool. Hope they release that eventually. I don't know why they do that, like hold it back. I guess they're waiting for Thor Ragnarok to come out or something.
Weird.
But yeah, it all looks good. I'm trying to think what else. Defenders, though, that's another one too. I don't give a shit about. Like, I've never gotten into the Netflix stuff, but I'm just like, I really don't want to see that.
But Stranger Things 2 is a
must. Yep, I'm on board for that. I was already on board for that. So.
All right. Well, we could talk about more movies and TVs, but we need to get back to games. Dar Sakhar has some shakeup in gaming, right?
Yep, and I'm honestly not terribly surprised by it, but BioWare's general manager, Aaron Flynn, who's been there for 17 years, is leaving. And to replace him is another former BioWare employee who went off to Microsoft and is now coming back, Casey Hudson, which basically it was Hudson's interest in returning that led to Flynn making the final decision. Of course, that's what it says. But you
know, everybody's reading into this. Was Mass Effect Andromeda that bad?
Perhaps that unsupported. And if it were me on a project that... you know, that I had hoped would be treated better, I'd probably leave too, because, you know, that's just got to be a blow. I mean, this guy was also, if I'm right, like the lead programmer for Dragon Age Origins and Mass Effect 2. No, he's the director of programming. So, you know, two series, you know, and he was also a general manager, of course, while Dragon Age Inquisition was going on in Mass Effect 3. So, I mean... he's had his fingers in the pie for a long time.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, as one comment I read about on the BioWare news went, someone had to fall on their sword. Okay, but here's my question. Who at EA is taking a hit? Because I'm sorry, EA needs blame in what happened with Andromeda. Needs some big time blame. But that's just my thoughts.
Yeah. Is what it is.
All right. Well, let's hope the Mass Effect series can maybe recover. And maybe with Casey Hudson at the helm, maybe he's willing to give the series a shot. And maybe we'll really advocate for it because it is something he was heavily involved in the original trilogy.
Let's hope.
Who knows? We'll see. All right. Well, moving on. We got some more news. Loki.
So Nintendo released their app just before the launch of Splatoon 2 to basically handle their online portion of the Switch. So they have the Nintendo Switch Online app, and you can use it for a bunch of things for Splatoon 2, for example, like matchmaking, game invites. They're even having some sort of voice chat system. However, the voice chat, of course, as we've seen the setup before with the headsets that were coming out, is not necessarily the most elegant solution. You have to basically hook your Switch and your phone up to a splitter and hook that up to a headset and hope that all works. On top of that, though, their app has some really funky issues with it. So, for example, when you're on voice chat, you'll disconnect if, you know, for example, another application comes up, or it'll restart in the same room if you open. I guess it'll restart once you open it up again. But I guess if it's the app is in the background, it just disconnects, unlike a lot of other things. The other thing, too, is the app won't work if your phone goes in the power saving sleep mode. So if your screen is inactive, it will shut off, which is fantastic because then now you have to have your phone charging all the time in order for it to work.
In my opinion, that is the biggest, dumbest oversight in the whole thing, is the fact that when you go into sleep mode, the thing kicks you out. I mean, come on.
It's weird. I mean, I don't understand why they can't just allow it to shut the screen up. Or better yet, like if you're in chat mode or something like that, have the screen black out. Like Pokemon Go does that, where like you can leave your phone open, but if you turn your phone upside down, it blacks the whole screen and...
Yeah,
you know,
saves a little power.
Yeah, it's just it's stupid.
Yeah, and I just again the app. I tried using the app at least for some of the other stuff because you can go into the SplatNet or whatever, and you can see like here's my last few scores. And you can this is the weird thing. You can buy things on the app that are different from the rotations that are in the game live. So I guess like a little perk to using the app or something. I don't know.
I shouldn't have to. Well, you shouldn't have to use the app in the first place.
It's a little weird, but it's there. But I mean, other than that stuff, like what is stopping me from using Discord or Skype? There's really nothing.
It's actually probably better.
Oh my God, Discord should be having a field day right now. That system is blowing up. Which, by the way, cheap plug, VOG Network Discord is also. We're actually the next person to join is going to be our 50th member on Discord. So I'm pretty excited about that. So that's over at vognetwork.com/discord. But anyway, I mean, Discord's really blowing up all over the place. And now, you know, now it's going to be a possible solution for a lot of people for Nintendo's failure to produce a competent app when it comes to voice chatting, which I guess, you know, they can always update it and try to make it better, but good Lord.
Like, okay, I get it. Here's my problem. Like, I thought the whole idea of having to have an app for online was stupid, but if they can make it work, then cool. But it sounds like they're just, it's like, this is like rookie shit that they're fucking didn't think, oh, hey, maybe we should get it to work when the phone goes to sleep or have it run in the background or I don't know. It's like, do they outsource this shit? I mean, do they not know how to fix this? I mean,
I think we have a winner, but anyway.
I would think that they'd be able to patch this in, so hopefully they can fix it, but it's just stupid. It's not, when people aren't very confident in your ability to handle online and you pull this shit, it doesn't help the argument for you.
Dungeon Buster in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, Nintendo friend code team, we made things a little difficult for players to get together. Nintendo mobile team, hold our beer.
And the friend code thing, let's be honest, I still don't get that. I mean, can we get to the point now where we understand that, like, there's... Is that really preventing anything with friend codes? I mean, like,
for what it's worth, which isn't much, but for what it's worth, it's not what it used to be on the Nintendo Wii. Like, when you find somebody's friend code, you send them a friend request. Like, it's not one of those, like, you both have to add each other or you'll never know. Like, it sends a traditional request. And you can pull in friends from the Wii U, the 3DS, the Miitomo, and like other mobile stuff. You can pull in your friends list from those games, but it is weird how the mobile games, those mobile games like Miitomo, will go to your Twitter and Facebook lists, but your Switch will not. And I think that just goes to show there's some type of teams not talking to each other or outsource stuff going on here? Like, why is it possible over here but not possible over here? It's weird. But it's not as bad. Like, you know, I know Nintendo gets a lot of shit for friend codes, as they should. But it's not what it was on the Nintendo Wii. It's come a long way since
I just think people don't care because, like, you have, once again, parents let their kids play fucking Call of Duty and shit. Do you think they really care who they're chatting with online? I mean, I don't know.
Well, they should. They should pay attention. I don't know. Well, anyway, I guess you could always go back to the classic days of the SNES, which a lot of people are trying to do because of the Super Nintendo Classic. And turns out my phone blew up with notifications the other night because Walmart put those fuckers up for pre-order. The Super NES Classic is supposed to be released on September 29th. It's going to cost $80, and Walmart put them up for pre-order, and of course, they're gone. But I will give them this credit. It took a good 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, I thought it'd be faster than that. I had set up notifications for that, but I didn't see my phone in time. My phone was charging.
I was out at dinner, and I know shock and all you guys. Sometimes at dinner, I turn my phone over and I don't look at it. Sometimes.
Gasp.
Not always. You know, this was one of those times where I was like,
honestly,
you know,
if they're going to make it so difficult for me to buy one of those systems, I'm just not going to get one.
And that is exactly. If Nintendo wants me to buy one, I will. And I said that a few weeks ago, and I'm sticking to it.
Because honestly, this product to me seems like the you know, Atari flashbacks and, you know, stuff of that sort. It's more of like an impulse buy, I think. I mean, a lot of people really want it, but I think, you know, if they weren't so hard to get, people wouldn't be clamoring as much. I don't know.
Well, over at Target, which, you know, I didn't really want to buy anything at Walmart anyway. So when I hear about their competitor Target, I'm like, okay, well, Target I can handle. Somebody actually tweeted Target, when can I get a SNES Classic? Target did reply saying, we expect to carry SNES in stores and online, but we don't have any info regarding pre-orders. So they may or may not be taking pre-orders. I guess this was a follow-up to an earlier tweet they said, where they said, good news, we'll have this item and it will be available for pre-orders. But it sounds like Target and their support team there that's working on Twitter
and
doesn't really have a consistent answer for that.
And conspiracy theorist myself, I would like to say that I noticed that, well, this bad news about your online app sucking, let's let out some of those pre-orders so we get the websites covering that instead. Covering that, oh, hey, the SNES Classic was out there. Let's get the positive spin out there.
Interesting.
And now no one's talking about the online app sucking.
I think it's too much of a negative and a positive. You've seen the reviews for that online app in the stores, like on iTunes and on Google Play. People are not nice. But at the same time, it's not a nice app. So there's appropriate ways to take out your anger. Throwing a shoe at a stage to some woman who's just contracted to be there, that's probably not one of the ways you should do it. But I suppose a review on a site like iTunes may be effective. You know, Nintendo's got to look at that 2-star rating and go, that doesn't
make us great.
Yeah. Oh, we got 2 stars?
Wow.
All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Darksaka.
Well, we were at one time World of Warcraft players and have played other, I would say, Blizzard games. But this one is a little bit surprising. Blizzard actually laid off Russell Brower, I guess that's how you say his last name, who was the senior audio director and composer who's worked on World of Warcraft, Overwatch, StarCraft II, Diablo III, Hearthstone, and all kinds of things. He put on his Facebook that, and with there being some adjustments within the company, that his position was made redundant. It was eliminated. Which I suppose is a big shock. I mean, for a lot of people, he's had his fingers in a lot of Blizzard projects. And, they might have him freelance. I don't know, but still, that's just kind of crappy. Actually, it's a lot crappy.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of painful to hear that when you think about like what great music World of Warcraft had. Like, I will still always love like the Grizzly Hills. Like, when you go into that zone for the first time, That's an amazing song. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of, you know, big, big stuff with World of Warcraft. So it's sad to hear about that, but I mean, it kind of sounds like the door is open where it's like, well, he's not a full-time employee, but he can still – it doesn't mean that – like, it doesn't sound like it ended ugly. Like, like the Halo, the guy who did the Halo song for Bungie. It sounds like that didn't end so well. But this one sounds a little more like, well, the door's open, so maybe there's freelance in the future, but...
Or maybe be nice and we'll give you a big parting bonus.
Hmm.
Or it's in, like, some work disclosure.
Slykick from GameBuoy is in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com saying, Blizzard did a Heroes of the Storm-themed employee outing at Medieval Times in Buena Park. They put on a special show for them. Did you hear that? Yeah, I saw that on Twitter, actually. So Blizzard does things like that for the employees sometimes. They also did – this was a couple years ago, but I remember hearing after BlizzCon, they rented the World of Color thing at Disney California Adventure, and they did like a Blizzard World of Color. But it was just like – it wasn't anything. It was like their trailers on the water screen. It wasn't like they didn't go out of their way to do a bunch of effects. But still, for employees, it's got to be really exciting. No. Anyway.
It is pretty crazy.
Thank you, Ragenator. Martin O'Donnell's the Halo composer. Yeah, I heard it didn't end well between him and Bungie. I remember that came up on the show a while ago. But yeah, or actually it was Activision more. But anyway. All right. Let's move on. Just got a couple more stories for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week, Loki.
I don't get this. This is kind of stupid. But, you know, there's this whole Overwatch League that... You know, it's their esports league that they were trying to trademark their logo, which has Tracer, and it's kind of like, you know, the multicolored logos you see for like several sports franchises. And well, one of those sports franchises, Major League Baseball, is saying, hey, it's too similar to our logo. You can't trademark this. So they file an appeal, but they filed an extension on their appeal, but they haven't yet filed an appeal for it. And the deadline's actually coming up in about 3 days. But it doesn't look anything like the fucking Major League Baseball logo. And besides, on top of that, I think if you have any qualms against any sort of logo like that, then what about Major League Gaming? I mean, come on. That's more of a ripoff of that than anything. And then, like, what about the NBA has the same type of thing? Or NHL? I mean, there's, like, a ton of fucking logos out there that look all the same.
It is also pretty clear to me that in one logo, the person is holding a baseball bat. In the other logo, the person is holding a gun.
It's also different colors. It's also different fonts. Also, the way the words are lined up is different. It just sounds like, up-and-coming popular.
Is MLB afraid of something?
Yeah, I think so. Sounds like it.
After all, we had Evo on ESPN on Sunday night.
They're pulling higher numbers in some of their games. So.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I don't know.
Just theorizing.
So I guess we'll have to follow and see what happens with this. Hopefully, they won't file any sort of appeal. So, they're, like I said, the deadline for their submission has to be the 26th. And so, if they don't file anything, then there's no opposition, and they're going to basically just allow them to have that.
All right. Well, a little more for you here before we get to the classic game of the week, but this is about a classic game, and this all seems to be happening all at once. I don't know if this is because of the Castlevania and how well that's been doing on Netflix, but Jason mentioned at the intro at the top of the show tonight, there's been kind of a flood of this media stuff this week, and yeah, there has been. Get this, Galaga, of all things. That's right, the old 80s Namco game, Galaga, supposed to be made into an animated series. That's right. Sweden and LA-based production company, The Nuttery Entertainment. The Nuttery. Send them to The Nuttery. They're developing an animated series and other extensions of the Galaga brand. They've signed an agreement with Bandai Namco, which obviously made Galaga and Galaxian and all that. They're trying to develop new characters and stories based on Galaga, including an animated series titled Galaga Chronicles. Huh. So, quote there, we're incredibly honored to be able to work on such an amazing legacy property and help launch it into the animated space. So, could be interesting. Dar Sakura, I know you're a fan of Namco stuff. Would you watch a Galaga cartoon?
Sure, I watched a Salamander anime.
All right. Well, speaking of anime,
we watched Zillion.
Would you watch one based on Splatoon? Because Splatoon is going to get one, too.
Splatoon.
What's that?
I haven't played any Splatoon.
It's cute. I think Splatoon would make a good anime. I think it's a good, like, kid thing. Like, I know we always taunt Nintendo at being, like, the kiddie company, but let's be real. Like, they made a first-person, well, you know what I mean, over-the-shoulder shooter or whatever you want to call it, that isn't really a shooter, but it is, and it's a game that's, like, really fun for adults, and kids can get into it. So,
and
like,
it's not overly violent. And no. I don't see any faults there, no.
No, I mean, so, like, yeah, Nintendo kind of hit the money on this. So it makes a lot of sense that Splatoon is going to get an anime spinoff. It is being reported by KoroKoro that the series will premiere on the KoroKoro YouTube page on August 12th. There already is a Splatoon manga in magazine form, so it just makes sense that the anime is going to follow suit.
There had been one for Metroid back in the day.
Oh.
They made a manga for Metroid that a lot of the story points from the manga ended up in, like, Super Metroid and some of the other Metroid games.
Well, then it could be interesting to see what develops with especially with how popular some of those Splatoon characters are. Really popular. Like, seriously, just look up Pearl and Marina.
Well, the NES version of Strider was based off of a manga based off the arcade version.
Right, because that's why the Sega and the Nintendo ones, even though they're both Strider, are so different.
Exactly.
Ah, excellent. Anyhow, well, it may not be Metroid, but another classic game, again, sounds like it's moving forward, is a Mega Man movie. Now, we first heard about this 2 years ago, but some movement happened. It's not in development hell anymore. It's in the final stages of negotiations to write and direct. Sharonin Entertainment, I hope I'm saying that right, is the producer behind this. The directors of the Catfish film will be heading up the project. But Heroes actor Masi Oka, who played like that, what was his name in Heroes?
Hero.
That, okay, thank you. I just remember he was the guy in the trailer in Times Square going, I did it.
Honestly, he was one of the best parts of that.
And George Takei played his dad.
Yeah. Like he was the hero in that show, literally. But anyway, so he's involved with that, which I remembered that was because he wasn't always an actor. Well, I guess that was always something he kind of did, but he was like a sci-fi FX guy before that, wasn't he? I seem to remember reading about that. Yeah, I think he made that transition from that to, like, doing the acting in that show, and then obviously he was very popular in that show. Anyway, no idea when the film itself will be coming out, but I'm sure plenty more information will be out there.
So hope it doesn't suck like the cartoon looks, because that cartoon looks like shit. Is that cartoon even come out yet?
I thought probably we at least saw trailers. But,
well, I know we've seen trailers for, but...
I thought it was early 2018 for that. I don't know.
All right.
Well, anyhow,
well, you know what's weird? I'm just like, sorry, just to interrupt
again.
No,
that's fine.
We have all these, like, oh yeah, movies and cartoon. Game? Anywhere?
Game would be
like
a good
fucking
idea,
it's like fucking Hot Topic in Invader Zim. Oh, let's put out all the fucking Invader Zim merchandise, but fuck you, we're not giving you another show. Until, of course, new Nintendo.
Did you see the
Rocko's
right?
Modern Life fucking trailer for Comic-Con?
Yeah, that looks awesome.
But yeah, I mean, the movie is nice. I guess it's good to test the waters to see if it's something they bring back. I think Rocko's Modern Life would be good, and Invader Zim, I'm all for that.
Come on, Noel Gus in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I want a Kid Icarus reboot so that I can cosplay as Eggplant Wizard. A, you can already cosplay as Eggplant Wizard if you want. I think the Eggplant Wizard was iconic enough. Eggplant Wizard was in Captain N, right? If I remember right.
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
But also was iconic enough
Captain
in the game.
Captain N was also terrible.
But B, I just want to remind you, the Eggplant Wizard and the Eggplant Emoji have nothing in common. So just, if that's where you're going with that, just a little word of caution for you.
Well, the Eggplant Wizard would be a perfect character for another Smash game.
I think so. I think the Eggplant Wizard would be, I think that the Eggplant Wizard is a good
and
character.
And the dude from ActRaiser.
Due for a comeback. Yes, dude from ActRaiser. Eggplant Wizard. We need to, maybe this is a list we need to do in the near future. The character that's due for a fucking comeback. Just like we had Duck Hunt, right? We had that fucking dog came back in Smash. Character due for a comeback.
How about another Duck Hunt game? There's all these properties they can bring back.
Yeah. I like that. We're going to do that on a future show, I think. Character due for a comeback.
In fact, if you're going to see NES Classic Edition 2, I would be happy. I mean, I don't know how they would do a light gun game, but it would be cool to see with the Zapper in there and have all the light gun games in there.
All right, let's travel back to a simpler time when we were playing games that featured eggplants, and there was nothing wrong with that. The classic game of the week. Dark Soccer is going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you, brat, play this game, or I'll turn you into an eggplant. Dark Sakura. What is the... Eggplants are kind of good, though, actually.
I actually make eggplant parmesan really nicely. My grandmother used to make it for me, so believe it or not, I have a lot of fond memories attached to eggplants.
You know, it's one of those things... It's one. Sorry, I can't help it. It's one of those things that people
not like, those kind of memories.
It's one of those things that people love or they hate. But like, I find that I really like eggplant. Go figure.
Okay, eggplant emoji.
Classic game of the week, Dark Sakura. What should the kids be playing this week?
Sengoku, or as it was in Japan, Sengoku Densho, which was a Legacy of the Warring States to translate.
Oh, it's a Neo Geo game.
I love the Neo Geo startup logo.
That's right. All right,
right. Let's have a moment. Rob, start it over.
Oh, we just heard it.
Do it.
Fine. Jamie made me.
I hear that every time I turn on my Neo Geo.
Everybody now. Sweet relief.
Anyways, Sengoku actually was a series of games that were put out by SNK. It had several different ports and releases that came out. The original, of course, was for the Neo Geo arcade system. And that also means that we had... That was also the Neo Geo AVS, MVS, Neo Geo CD, Mega CD, and Super Famicom versions that apparently were, some of them were canceled in North America. The arcade version was re-released as SNK Arcade Classics Volume 1, well, in part of it, and the Neo Geo version was re-released for Virtual Console in 2001, with the sequels also coming to Virtual Console, Sengoku 2, Sengoku 3, for US and PAL regions. And then in 2009, for PS2 and Windows, there was Sengoku Anthology. So basically, I like this game, and I had forgotten about it until I watched a video review yesterday. It's basically... It almost kind of makes me think of Samurai Troopers. You remember that anime? Or over here, we got it as Ronin Warriors.
Right, right, right.
It kind of makes me think a little bit of it because you have this dark, undead dimension that's still based in feudal Japan, or at least the mythology around it is, who come to the modern world or the dimension trying to cross over. And your two heroes are... a ninja named Dave in the US version, or in the Neo Geo version, and a cowboy named Kev, although in the SNES one they were Dan and Bill respectively, who were descendants of the original samurai who banished the asshole warlord back when. So you start off with 6 health points. And then after you beat certain enemies, you get these powerful forms that you can transform into, that you can toggle which one you go into, although on this next one you can't. You've got a wolf form, you have a ninja form, you have a samurai form, and they've got their own special power-ups that go on along with the game. But the neat thing about this game is that you can hit these, like, warp areas that take you from, like, a modern day, or by modern I mean 1991, setting, and send you into this mythical feudal Japanese setting. You know, banners, you know, broken in the background, and even the music changes. The music in this game is freaking great. It actually has, like, one of my favorite game soundtracks. And on top of that, one of the things in the arcade version is that there is a reference to the game Athena. Where
Neo Geo has a lot of subtle references to that game. They really do.
Well, it was another SNK game.
Yeah, no, I know. It was like one of their first, yeah.
But like, it even has like Dress Shop Athena, and it's in the Athena font with a schoolgirl dress on a mannequin in the background. It's pretty cool. So anyway, as you go through the game, you have to survive being attacked by the enemies and collect your power-ups. 5 green orbs will heal 1 health point, and a red orb will give you a single sword. A cyan one will give you a double sword, and the purple one gives you a 2-handed holy sword, and a yellow one will give you a magic attack. And now here's the bad thing. As much as I would love to love on the SNES one, it actually suffers from a lot of the limitations of having a slower processor. On top of that, the music really isn't all that great. Although the SNES can do a pretty decent shakuhachi sound. Anyway, of course the Neo Geo version is perfect. The Neo CD version is perfect. The only thing that I remembered as being a problem with the arcade one is that it played kind of sluggishly anyway. And of course the Super Famicom one was even worse. Now, the Mega Drive one, because I'd never played the Mega Drive one, but I was watching the review of it, and the same company that did the port of it had done plenty of other games, and it looks like it plays fine. The music is there. The music is the arcade music, because it's Mega CD. It just doesn't have as beautiful as a color palette. But I think that the music in this game is absolutely wonderful, and the game itself... it has a lot of good things going on for it. It just needs to be a little bit more fun to play. But for one of those, it was really, I think, ambitious in terms of story and the design of the game and the way that it played. And as you went through, you know, various different settings, it's just very fascinating. A shame it just wasn't more fun to play, that's all. But that's the game, Sengoku Densho.
All right, there it is, your classic game of the week, a Neo Geo classic, Sengoku. Let's hear it one more time, Dark Sakura. One more time.
Okay. We just need a collection of those for bumpers. Like that remix with the old Capcom Q sound.
Yeah. All the old startup noises, the GameCube.
And the old Konami.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. There is plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including Rapid Fire News, the mailbag, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. When we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight on this Sunday night with episode number 695 of our show. We're just a few episodes away from 700, if you can believe it. If you are just joining us here live, you've missed a lot of chat. Like earlier in the show, we were talking about the Pokemon Go Fest, and our buddy Charles from the Pokemon Go podcast was actually here. And I've been talking to him a little bit on Twitter, even though obviously he couldn't be here live tonight. But he did want to mention that he did have some videos that he took of the event. If you want to check that out, it's over on their Facebook page. So just check it out over at facebook.com/Pokemon Go podcast. You can check out those videos. In the meantime, we're going to get back into some rapid fire news. Loki.
So here's some new fodder for Nintendo to DMCA. There's a Smash Brothers fan game called Super Clash Brothers. It basically takes the characters in Smash Brothers and puts them in their wonderful 8 and 16-bit iterations. And then, of course, there's a whole game based on that. So this one, they've only got a few characters so far. You've got Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, Link, Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, and Mega Man. And, of course, you know, every character looks just like their, you know, sprite versions. And I think he even operates sort of like their sprite versions as well. So it's available to check out online. Until, of course, it is, taken down by Nintendo eventually. So that would be terrible. The other fun thing, there's a new mod for Link to the Past that allows two people to share items online. So I guess it somehow adds some special code to allow a couple players to actually coordinate items through their progress in the game and can change each other's inventory. So that's kind of weird. And they're saying that even, I guess, you can communicate with your teams over Skype and stuff. That's definitely a unique mod for that. Too bad it's not like co-op, though, in Zelda. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer they don't, like, officially release something like that. That's like when they, like, put multiplayer in Skyrim with a mod. You know, something that people kind of wanted, but Bethesda didn't, I guess, think the balance would work right. But, modders to the rescue, right?
Yeah. So, well, neat.
Well, maybe Ubisoft will be looking at a Zelda-like game on the Nintendo Switch. Who knows what they're working on? We don't know, but Ubisoft has said that they are working on more titles for Nintendo Switch. This is during a recent earnings call, but of course, no more details, just that the games will be announced soon. We don't know if they're ports, we don't know if they're new games altogether, or like, you know, new platforms for games that are scheduled to come out, like maybe the South Park game, but that's, you know, obviously I'm totally making shit up right now, but we'll see. We'll find out. I would imagine Gamescom might be a good time in the near future to announce that stuff. Obviously,
I would imagine.
Ubisoft has a lot of operations in France, so
that's only a few weeks away, I think.
Yeah, so that would be a good time, but we'll see. We'll see. But that would make a lot of sense. Also, could the end of Miiverse be coming? I guess it would make a lot of sense, after all, since the Wii U has kind of been kicked to the curb at this point. Nintendo did do an update to the Wii U. This update contains text. Now, keep in mind, this text is not displayed on the screen. Somebody's gone through the files and found this that says, the Miiverse service has ended. Miiverse and any software features that make use of Miiverse are now unavailable. Again, Nintendo hasn't announced anything official yet. It's just, it seems like the wording is in there. In their most recent software updates. That's really all we know right now. But again, I mean, it kind of makes sense that it would go away. For the fact it's on the 3DS as well, and the 3DS is still supported by Nintendo.
Well, they may just, you know, break it for the Wii U. Well, I want to know what this breaks. So when they get rid of this, what's this going to break? Everything? Is it going to break, like, Mario Maker? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, I don't know if it breaks Mario Maker and Splatoon or what happens with that. And how far out is it? It could be – maybe this is the last major system patch for the Wii U or something, and so they're putting that text in there preemptively. I don't know. But, again, this is all still really premature. So, all right. Moving on. Dark Sakura.
Well, we know we all enjoy our Super Mario Maker. At least some of us are still giving it the time of day.
Yeah, I did. I did the post show stream last week was Mario Maker. We had a lot of fun.
Well, now a fan has made a Mario 64 Maker. Basically, you use your camera perspective and put things where you want, and you would play them through emulation or through, you know, like a ROM writer or something. So pretty neat. It is available online. You just have to look it up, you know, before someone takes it down. So, and in other news, for folks who are fans of Ultra Street Fighter 2, they have released now or figured out how to play as Shin Akuma, or as he was in Japan, Gouki. So, to do this, you choose Ryu, highlight color 1, press cancel, then choose Ken, highlight number color 9, then press cancel, choose Sagat, highlight color 8, then press cancel, choose M. Bison, highlight color 7, press cancel, highlight the random select, then press L and R simultaneously.
Good lord.
And you have to do that each time you want to play him.
Oh,
that's fucking hell. That's stupid.
It's an arcade-ish thing to do, I guess.
No, it's stupid. It's an arcade-ish thing to do in an arcade that has no sort of like static memory to know that it's updated, you know, an unlock or something like that.
That's on Capcom, not Nintendo.
That is just stupid.
C'est la vie.
Yep. All right. Well, anyhow, I do want to go to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com because some interesting insight. The Miiverse thing really struck a chord with a lot of people in chat when we were talking about that. JD in chat says, the My Nintendo thing still gives weekly Miiverse check-ins. I don't expect them to disable that until they roll out Switch rewards on My Nintendo. Act Dev points out there's a Miiverse stage in Smash Wii U. So, let's see. Also in chat at live.vognetwork.com, Dark Tetsuya theorizes maybe it'll tie into Nintendo's new online, maybe have a Miiverse style service on Switch. Well, what's interesting, Dark Tetsuya, if you haven't already seen, Splatoon 2 kind of built its own Miiverse within the game, and that's where you're seeing a lot of these pictures that look a lot like Miiverse show up, but they're just kind of embedded in Splatoon 2. So that's kind of weird. But anyway, Dark Tetsuya saying about the code, by the way. What I thought really neat about this code, this is the Street Fighter code, is the color numbers spell out 1987. Get it? And hey, to be fair, you have to do the same type of thing to unlock Akuma in Street Fighter originally. So
I remember all the drama you had to go through to unlock Roll.
It is one of those things that once you do it once, it should kind of be permanent, but whatever. All right. Anyway, enough of that. Let's talk about what is out in stores this week, starting with the U.S., Loki.
So we have a few things coming out this week. Starting off with Avon Colony. That's coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Fable Fortune on Xbox One and PC. I guess I got held back a little bit. Pyre on PC and PlayStation 4. Super Cloud Built on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Caller Cross Malice on PlayStation Vita. Hey! Pikmin is coming out on 3DS. Miitopia also on 3DS. And then Sundered on PC and PlayStation 4. And last but not least, looks like we've got Dragon Quest IX on 3DS and PlayStation 4. That's it.
All right, traveling over to Japan, there's some releases to check out, including on Friday, Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Trilogy gets a release on PlayStation 4, as well as Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered gets a Japanese release this week. It's worth pointing out, this isn't specific to Japan. It's actually a Korean game, but it's coming out in the Asian territories. So I bring it up here because a lot of import stuff and import stores, it's on that list as well. DJ Max Respect, which I know some of you music game fans are looking forward to. And then kind of a big deal in Japan, Dragon Quest XI on the PlayStation 4. Dragon Quest XI, Sugisharishi Toki o Motomete comes out. There's a regular one. There's a controller that comes out with that. There's an entire freaking PS4 in a Dragon Quest edition that is all out this week. If you want to look on the Vita, however, there's some releases there as well, including Hiro no Kakera Omi Iro no Kyoku comes out in regular limited edition, and Waga Mama High Spec in regular and limited edition. Checking out to see if there's anything on the Switch or the 3DS in Japan this week. Doesn't look like we have anything this week except some accessories, but on the 3DS we do have... Dragon Quest XI is also on the 3DS. I forgot about that. So there's actually a Metal Slime 2DS XL that is coming out to go with that. So I'm sure a lot of people are going to be checking out Dragon Quest XI. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
We have a few. Well, really just one thing. On the 25th is Fortnite for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Hitstun in chat talking about Dragon Quest XI says, yeah, we still don't have Dragon Quest X. I don't care until we have it. Agree. Just saying. All right, Dark Sakura, we're going to go back right over to you to get into the mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And Dark Sakura dives in the mailbag and finds some letters that she thinks maybe this one's worth reading.
Dear Lord, y'all.
All right.
I'm just trying to make sure that this isn't one. No, that's fairly recent. Okay. Evening, Rob, Jamie, and Loki. First of all, let me say again, happy 15th. This email I have been meaning to send y'all a couple of... Wait, did I already read this one?
I think if it's from Rama, you did do this last week.
Okay, then why does it have an earlier date on it or a later date on it?
I don't know.
Mailbox shenanigans. Because that other one... when was the 16th?
16th was before the last show. Last show was on the 16th. So read anything 17th and after.
Okay. Well, sorry, Ranma.
Well, we complimented his email a lot last week, so.
Yeah, but this seems to be different. Oh, well.
Maybe he sent a revised version with an attachment.
I meant none of that. The hell with all you.
I meant it all.
Anyway,
I didn't mean any of
I'll
it.
I'll move forward.
That's fine.
Hi there. Wait. Oh, this is another thing about the Fire Pro Wrestling thing.
Oh. Hi there. Is your penis small? Do you need an enlargement?
No, because I was like, I saw Spike Chunsoft, and I'm like, what? Oh, not Danganronpa. Don't care.
How did that? Wow. I guess that's a compliment, though, that our new email address got picked up by some companies already. That's
pretty
cool.
Well, actually, I do care because then maybe
you wanted to check out that game, right?
Danganronpa V3 freebies.
There's you read that.
Yeah, I'm going to play I'm going to play the Fire Pro.
What about a Fire Pro Wrestling game with Danganronpa characters?
Dude.
Read that email offline because there's something in it that you're going to want and take it.
Okay. Ooh. Next Navy SEALs.
Next email, please.
Okay, sorry. This is called Fucking Stupid Splatfest Battles.
Oh, I already know what this is going to be about. I know what this is going to be about. Somebody is trying to get me to fucking rant tonight. Read it.
Okay. Hello, humanoids. There's a link to a Twitter thing. On Friday, Nintendo announced that the next Splatoon 2 Splatfest battle will be Team Mayo versus Team Ketchup, to which Sky remarked,
fuck off.
This is disgusting and an attack.
And I stand by my statement.
Personally, I just think it's fucking stupid. Can you
think
of any other fucking stupid Splatfest battles they could do? How about Team Pinot Noir versus Team Sauvignon Blanc? Stay Black Writer Team.
Dude, I would participate. I think a good Splatfest would be Team Red Wines versus White Wines. I think that's a decent one worth having, except that this is supposed to be a kid's game. But they could find a creative way to word it. Like, what's your favorite grape? You like red grapes or white grapes? That's how you do it.
It would be, and I think it's Team Box Wine versus Team Bottle Wine.
It's
all delicious.
I just want to remind people, the reason why I feel so strongly about this is I really fucking hate mayonnaise. And what drives me bonkers about it is that it's not this, well, it is and it isn't Splatfest itself. This is an excuse for people to tag me on Twitter talking about Team Mayo. And I'm just like, shut up. It's not funny.
I don't know if I'd be comfortable with a lot of squid shooting substances that are similar to mayo around in that game.
You know what? I hate ketchup.
Well, here's the thing. I don't even really like ketchup. I guess I'm team ketchup by default, but I am with the emailer. I am team this is just ridiculous in general. But I'm only team ketchup because I have to be. But in the reality, I'm going to California Extreme this weekend anyway. So
right? Preach.
Splatfest can kind of kiss my submarine sandwich.
Guess what?
What?
I'm not going to be in the cast at California Extreme.
We can play DDR. That'll be fun. Wait, Splatfest is this weekend, right? Not next weekend?
You know what? I'm also team not playing Splatoon.
Yeah, I'm just forget that Splatfest. I don't need the shell stuff that badly. I can skip one. And I swear to God, if you tag me in mayo bullshit on Twitter, I'm going to block you. Like, it's not funny. I'm telling you right now, it's not funny.
I have a letter from me to Spike Chinsoft.
Okay. Can we
please give me Danganronpa V3 for free.
It's super professional.
I will review it for you and tell you that I love it because I love all things Danganronpa. Okay.
Sorry, JD, just to be fair, JD's pointing out Splatfest is first weekend of August. It's not next weekend. Well, I'm going to fucking make plans the first weekend of August.
Rob,
I am doing something other than Splatfest.
Rob.
What?
Let's go to a museum.
Team art.
Let's go to the Rosicrucian Museum.
Team read a book.
We're going to San Jose, and we're going to go to the Rosicrucian
Museum.
Team
science win that time?
Oh, that's right. They did an art versus science thing, didn't they? God damn it. All right, anyway.
Hi, OLR. It's Raginator again with another seemingly random question. Thank you for saving us.
He said semen.
You know, he said seemingly.
Why don't they just do team tits and team ass? Why don't they just do
now
team...
That is...
team tits.
I want to see the shirts that come along with that one.
Why can't you have both?
Can we get like the boob like hats, you know, that they have?
So what would it be? Boob team hat, dick hat versus hat. Team ass?
No, why not team tits and ass?
Team
because
eggplant
it's sexist.
No.
We need team dick, too.
Oh, there are plenty of women that would still pick tits.
But there are not many men who have boobs like that.
All right. We'll do team eggplant emoji versus team peach emoji.
Okay. So we'll have 1 week of team tits and ass and one week of peach emoji and eggplant
emoji.
I'll set them all up,
okay? Because Nintendo can't possibly handle
I love this idea. What we should do on the show... If we, I'm sorry to derail the email, but you know what? This is far more important than whatever sale he's going to talk about. So, love you, Raginator. So, here's the thing. I think when Splatfest is lame, we replace it. And we say, these are the new teams. We overrule Nintendo and their inferior online system. And we are officially overruling this week's Team Mayo.
Like, they could have done, instead of mayo and ketchup, they could have done Alfredo. And marinara.
That's good. Okay. Oh. I would still be team marinara. So anyway. But I think we should overthrow with team peach emoji and team eggplant emoji.
Team,
that's a good one.
Pesto versus marinara. That'd be even better.
Anyway.
Well, they can't have three teams. That is just going to break it.
But. Yeah. I also will go out and say there are men with nice racks.
Sure.
But I'm just saying. It's not exactly fair.
And there's men with great asses. Just saying.
It's all about the hip groove. That's Okay, so Raginator, talking about sales. Obviously, most of us within the VOD community enjoy video games to one extent or another, be it on console, handheld, or PC.
Can't stand them.
But obviously, we all don't have the time and or energy to play games nearly as much as we would probably like.
True.
And for various reasons. That being said, is there any gaming-specific, gaming-related media that you all like and make use of to fill the void, and what specifically? My iPhone.
Gaming-related media?
I guess.
Podcasts!
Yeah, that goes without saying. I just have my iPhone.
Yeah, iPhone is awfully convenient.
I catch the Pokemans at my desk.
Gaming in your pocket and Twitter and all that. Social media, I think, is huge. It's good and it's bad. You know, obviously, there's a lot of good that comes from social media and there's a lot of garbage. So it's just kind of one of those... depending on what color glasses you're wearing on Twitter.
I found a YouTube channel that I absolutely fall in love with, and it's Relaxing Nintendo Music, which has like hour tracks of nothing but the most relaxing tracks from different games.
I like that. I like 3-hour YouTubes of people dissecting a 2-minute Pokemon trailer. That was something Shane introduced me to. I was like, wow, this is something.
I just discovered...
But then I'm like, it's basically our show.
I discovered a channel, I think it's called like Totally Not Jake, who does like this Dragon Ball power level thing. And just listening that someone had the time to break down all the episodes and the manga and try to figure it out, I'm like, dude, I'm completely listening to this. Fascinated. Rapt even. And I don't know why. It's like, well, then usually I'm playing Xenoverse at the same time. So it's like when you eat food and watch Cartoon Network. Not Cartoon Network. Food Network. Why did I say Cartoon Network? Or when you're like, for people of that persuasion, doing it while watching porn.
Sure.
So
I kind of miss G4 TV in that sense. I mean, not the later years, but the earlier years.
I miss tech TV. And all TV. That. Fuck yeah, this
and all,
G4 TV.
Well,
shit.
And all that stuff. I kind of miss that when that was more in its heyday. Both those channels, because you know that would be like I'm gonna zone out and watch Food Network, or I'm gonna zone out and watch Cartoon Network. It's like, oh, I can zone out and watch the video game channel. But now I suppose it's Twitch is kind of that now. So, I mean, Twitch is a decent answer. And when I say Twitch, I mean Mixer, I mean YouTube and all of it in one big bucket. But the video game social streaming is huge, obviously.
You meant Twitch is a generic.
Yeah.
Like
Kleenex.
Xerox.
Like Kleenex. Yeah, exactly. Loki, real quick, gaming media for you?
I watch even during work, like as I'm working and stuff, it'll have.
He watches the Ready Player One trailer over and over and over again.
No, I already did that today. So... no, I watch, funny enough, it's not really game-related. I watch a lot of Red Letter Media because they do funny reviews of movies, and I like that. But, like, gaming-related stuff, usually at home, I'll watch a few different YouTube channels. So, like, Ollie43 does a lot of Grand Theft Auto mod videos and just, like, silly shit that's just, like, small. I'll watch some of the replays of Awesome Games Done Quick because those are pretty fun. And then Helix Snake, because of his Skate 3 glitch videos, are just fucking hilarious. And occasionally I'll watch reviews from, Angry Joe Show, although sometimes he gets on my nerves. And then I've been listening, Jim Sterling, the Jimquisition. You know, I just like listening to a lot of, I guess those are almost like podcasts. Especially Jim Sterling's show and stuff is more like a podcast, but I don't know. I like their like opinions on stuff, and it's entertaining to listen to. I don't listen to a whole ton of podcasts. Occasionally, I'll listen to the Completely Unnecessary podcast with Pat the NES Punk, and he talks about like stuff and retro games and things.
I like the one where he talks to his neighbor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, do that sometimes. Yeah.
By the way, it's Totally Not Mark is the channel, so... I linked one of them in the chat so that people know who I was talking about.
I'm just going into chat because I noticed people in chat are also talking about non-gaming things they zone out to. Dark Tetsuya says, I think my non-gaming thing is dead malls, LOL. Dude, abandoned theme parks are
I've
awesome.
Watched a few videos of those. Those are pretty fun. Yeah.
For me, WoW Presents. Oh, honey.
Or the Ben Heck Show. I like the Ben Heck Show a lot.
Honey.
Oh, honey.
Honey. Honey.
Honey.
Contact.
Anyway, I will not Jodie Foster this behavior.
I need to watch Contact so I get Katya's references.
You haven't seen Contact yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'm not going to suggest that you watch.
There's a YouTube series that
I still need to see.
Always reference.
What was the other movie that was like that? Wasn't it a Nolan film or something like that that just came out not too long? Interstellar.
Oh yeah, I did see that. That was so interesting. Anyway. Oh yes, Raginator. Yes.
For me, I enjoy reading books, be it physical ebooks or audiobooks, based on games, listen to game soundtracks, and read the comics when I find them, or watch Twitch or reruns of old school gaming based TV shows. You know, I did actually read a lot of comics based on I had the first series of Street Fighter comics that came out before Udon was a thing, the publisher. So those were pretty cool. Anyway. I'm done.
I'm going to go back and read Ready Player One again, probably. Maybe.
Good. All right, that's it for our mailbag tonight. Participate at orangelaundry.com if you would like to send us an email in the future for us to read here. So, all right, let's move on with some more gaming news. Loki.
So Nintendo has filed a trademark application in the EU for a graphical representation of Nintendo controllers, including the Nintendo 64. The previous time that they had done this was for the NES and the SNES, which you may remember have now mini systems for them. So the thought is, hey, they're going to release a mini N64 classic edition that you won't be able to buy maybe in 2018 or something to that effect. So that might be something to look forward to.
What can print money next? Although, not to be too shady, but how many Nintendo 64 games are going to be worthy of a collection? Are they going to cut it down to 15 games? Because how many games are worth revisiting? I'm sorry, it sounds so shady, but
there's
it's just not quite as rich of a collection as Nintendo.
Maybe they'll put Animal Woods or whatever the fuck that Animal Crossing game version
was originally?
Yeah.
Donburi Forest or whatever?
Donburi is a type of food.
All right.
Well, you're saying that it can't be a force of it?
Dobutsu no Mori.
Dobutsu no Mori. That's
Dobutsu
it. I was close. Mori. I had like two of the four syllables.
I don't know. Maybe they can put like, Mario 64, Star Fox 64,
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart.
Superman
Smash
64.
Brothers. Yeah. It's all Superman 64. It's 30 versions of it or something. I'm sure there's games that they could find on it. It'd be
GoldenEye. Okay. Come on, Noga says GoldenEye. If they can get the rights for it, because was it a Nintendo publisher?
That's a Rare game, yeah.
Oh, well, that might get complicated, but okay. Rights work out, yeah, GoldenEye would be that. That's all they. It doesn't even need anything besides GoldenEye.
Banjo Kazooie, then
people will fucking buy it if it's
Donkey Kong 64, Donkey Kong Country 64. I don't know. There's lots of games.
All right, and folks in chat,
Turok.
This should be a listless. Maybe God, that's like three listless ideas from tonight.
But yeah, I'm curious to see what kind of hardware the Super Nintendo one's running on, because the NES Classic one could play SNES games, Genesis, and all that stuff. And I want to say it did 64 games as well. It wouldn't be surprised if it's the same hardware. They just keep popping in the new shells.
Pokemon Puzzle League, Hey You Pikachu, and
Pokemon Snap.
Done.
But isn't Hey You Pikachu needing like a require a microphone?
Okay, if Nintendo can't fucking put a $2 microphone into these things, then what's the point if I can't play Hey You Pikachu?
If Nintendo can't put a voice app in their system that has, you know...
Yeah, why doesn't Hey You Pikachu just run through an app? They're brilliant, problem solved. I think we need to go to a new story. Uh-huh. Let's talk about a game that came out recently that's really awesome. Actually, since I now have, I don't know if I've talked a lot about this on the show, I finally bought a 4K monitor during the Amazon Prime. I don't have the video card yet that can quite pump out the 4K smooth visuals, but I am getting, I can do 4K video, and I'm getting the 2K, like I can play like that next level that's kind of in between. And so I've been playing Doom a little bit with that and making myself barf because that game moves so fast, but it's awesome. But I'm actually really happy to hear that Bethesda is going to be doing a Doom 6.66 update, which will unlock all the DLC for free. That's right. All players are going to get all the DLC for free, at least the multiplayer's DLC, which I think is all there was. It'll also change up the progression system big time, because this time you used to unlock random stuff, kind of like you do in Overwatch. Now, specific items and customizations will go for different levels, so you can check that out. My question to you guys and to our chat room is, how do you feel, though, about – whereas I'm happy that this is going free because I never touched the DLC. How do you guys feel about if you go and buy DLC for a game and then – 6 months, a year later, it's free for everybody? Do you feel burned a little bit? Or
a little bit, I guess, but whatever. They've done it in other games.
I suppose, has Xbox Gold or PlayStation, their rewards program, have they ever done like DLC as a reward? I don't think they have.
No, but like I've seen...
Discounts, I guess.
I've seen them do that before, though. It's not a new thing. It's a rare thing,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, usually those companies are like, ooh, let's make some money. We still want money, 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 money.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's uncommon.
Well, I want to go revisit this game now, especially with all the multiplayer stuff. I didn't play multiplayer enough. I kind of want to try it again, see if I get a kick out of it.
That's like getting mad at like a Game of the Year edition comes out for something that, you know, is cheaper anyways. It's like you've been playing it for a while now. I mean,
Right.
Whatever. You can't be too bent out of shape.
I thought this next thing was really cool. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Well, the NBC, it's actually for NBC Left Field, has decided to talk about who owns the moon. And they did a video using Minecraft to explain who owns the moon. It's actually really good. The thing's up on the Twitter channel, at NBC Left Field, and I thought it actually was pretty informative. There were things that I knew, but also a few things that I didn't know, and it was really something that I think could be understood by all ages, but definitely something worth a watch. For anyone in our chat room, I would be more than happy to link it to you. So, but it was really cute, and, you know, the other thing is that it goes to show that... that Minecraft can be an educational tool as well, not just, you know, digging holes for stress relief like I do. So,
well, they use it for programming. They've got whole classes based on Minecraft for programming.
Yeah, well, and then they have the Minecraft Education Edition. I mean, this is what kids are playing in school now, as opposed to Oregon Trail, which a number munchers like we all kind of grew up with.
So my son this week got into Roblox. That thing is like weird.
What's that?
Roblox is like this knockoff. It's not really a knockoff Minecraft. I mean, it's similar graphically to like a Minecraft, but it's basically, imagine, you know how they have like the different games that people can make in Minecraft, like the little, I don't know what you call them, but
like the Hunger Games mod.
Yeah, like some like mods, but like imagine that that's all it is. It's just these mods that you go and play different rooms, and they have different games that, I mean, they can do the Hunger Games or whatever. He did one that was called an Ordinary Elevator. It had like a bunch of weird shit in it, like internet meme shit. Like, he, you know, first time experiencing, was it, you know, I'm a cat, I'm a kitty cat, and a dance, dance, and a dance, you know. And he's like, and he thought that was hilarious. And I'm like, wow, that's super old.
Wait, but, so your kids are discovering memes for the first time?
Yeah, he's discovering memes.
Oh, boy.
They grow up so fast.
Look out. Don't go to the dancing hamster site.
Be careful, because Roblox has also been notorious for advertising via adware. And for a number of numbers, I'll just say be careful.
Yeah, I'm sure his shit already has spam on it.
Well,
it has pop-ups and shit already.
If he's been exposed to dank memes at such a young age, it's already ruined. It's already downhill from here.
But they have it at the library. You can play Roblox at the library. That's where he first played it.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, if it's good enough for the public library system...
Oh, I'm sure nobody ever downloads garbage to the public library. All right. A few more stories for you guys, then we're going to get to your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. But first, Loki.
So the next big marathon for Twitch, what could it possibly be? Another PBS show? No. Will it actually have something gaming related to it? Yes. They're going to be doing Starcade.
Awesome.
Yes, so they're going to be marathoning Starcade, and it's going to be awesome.
They say why? Just because we can?
They said that their page is not going to fucking load. So
Is it for? Because sometimes these events are for like charities. Like they did the Mr. Rogers thing because they were trying to like actually raise money for PBS, I think. But did your parents?
Okay. I got it. So they basically said this is a collaboration with the Blu-ray publisher Shout Factory, who picked up the rights. And I guess maybe it's to promote the Blu-rays that are going to be coming out.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, so they're going to be running. It's 130 episodes. It's supposed to begin on August 22nd.
That's awesome.
And I guess it's going to be broadcast on Shout Factory's Twitch channel.
And I once again want to just throw my name in consideration. I know I'm a nobody zero on the internet, but if Starcade were to ever come back, I would be the best host ever of that show. I'm just saying, that would be my fucking dream. So if anybody who is anybody is out there listening, please consider Rob Roberts, Starcade 2017. Because I heard they were going to try to bring this
back
at
some point.
Yeah, I
thought that's what I heard too.
Yeah, so maybe this is something to kind of gauge the interest for that. I don't know. So I'm sure a lot of people will be watching. On Twitch, because
I'm interested.
Yeah, me too. I fucking loved Starcade. I grew up. Oh man,
that was the best part of G4. Like in the afternoon, you know, I used to come home for lunch, watch an episode of Starcade on G4, and eat whatever food I had.
There you go. All right. Well, hey, if you can't watch the Starcade Marathon, maybe this is something you can listen to instead. It's the Adventures of Bayou Billy soundtrack. That's right. Going back to the 8-bit NES days, the Adventures of Bayou Billy was a Konami game that was on the NES. It was actually kind of fucking terrible. But it's still, you know, classic games are classic games, and some people still remember some things fondly, even if they weren't necessarily very good. Here's the crazy thing. Ship to Shore Phono Company is hoping that fans of the original game, because, you know, it did have one of those cool Konami soundtracks. You know, a lot of those 8-bit soundtracks from Konami and back in the day were really cool. The soundtrack is going to be coming out on a vinyl album. It'll have the original NES Famicom soundtrack. It's been remastered for vinyl. It's going to have new cover art, new linear notes, and a special 11x17 poster. So that's cool. For fans of Bayou Billy, that's awesome, even if I did not really care for the game, to which Dark Tetsuya in chat says, shut your whore mouth. It was fun, part beat 'em up, part driving, part shooting. Yeah, but if you actually play it, none of those parts are really any good. But okay, if you liked it as a kid, that's cool. Have a good time with it. I am happy for you. And you know what? The music still was good because, you know, again, those old 80s Konami games did have really rad music. So I will give you that. Tiger Claw pointing out that Bayou Billy was made to capitalize on the success of Crocodile Dundee. Oh, yeah, you can definitely see that. When you
I never drew that comparison.
Yeah. Really? Because
that was a joke.
Like, oh, okay, I was like, because it's kind of obvious. But anyway. You call that a soundtrack? Oh, that's a soundtrack. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want me to stop doing impressions and you want to call in to talk about anything that we have or haven't covered tonight, Orange Lounge Radio, again, all one word on Skype. I'm hoping there's some of you who aren't watching Game of Thrones or whatever the hell else is on TV. Was there a Twin Peaks panel at San Diego Comic-Con?
I think it was.
I want to know about what did they say about Twin Peaks. I mean, I guess there's not a lot else to say. I don't really see them doing another series after this one is done. We're lucky to get this, but I have been enjoying this remake. I will say that. Even though some of the episodes were batshit insane. Hey, we are getting a call, so actually we're getting a couple. Let's get to it. Hi. Dang it. How did that call not go through? Okay, I tried to pick up a call, and it flopped out. So if that was you, try to call back. Again, that's Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. I think my program choked because it, like, a few of you like all hit the line at once.
It's
there.
Like XP, or is it Windows 7? Yeah, yeah. Or that's XP.
It's XP.
XP. Yeah.
Didn't they say something like 5% of computers are still running XP? And it's like, oh yeah, I'm not helping with that number, am I? All right, again, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call, while we wait, Loki, any quick last minute stories you want to get out?
Yes, so there was a game that was kickstarted called 90s Arcade Racer that is not coming to Wii U anymore. Instead, it's going to Nintendo Switch as 90s Super GP.
Nice.
Yep. It looks awesome.
All right, let's see if it'll work this time. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ActDeft.
It worked. Hi, ActDeft. What's on your mind, buddy?
Pokemon Go.
yeah. How was your weekend for Pokemon Go?
It was kind of good. I tried to catch Articuno today. But I had really, really bad luck.
Oh, no, you didn't catch him? Or you weren't able to get a group together, or what?
No, I actually saw lots of people. I was kind of surprised about that. and we actually, of the three Articunos I participated in the raids today, we defeated two. One of them we just couldn't because we weren't enough. But at the time of the capture, well, that's just pretty tough. I'll just say that.
You're cutting in a little in and out, so you might want to check your mic. I don't know. It's getting like loud and soft, but that's always the joy of live radio, is trying to fix things as we go. I found part of like capturing the legendary stuff over this weekend. It's just, you know, kind of neat how like all the people are coming together. It is tricky because you're not guaranteed to get that legendary. In fact, they are very hard to catch. And that makes some people kind of salty. But at the same time, they wouldn't be legendary if they're total gimmies. You know what I mean? So you got to work a little bit for it. A little bit. I mean, you know, if you've done it like 9 times and still aren't catching it, then that's a little much, especially, you know, when you're paying for those raid passes. But if it takes you 2 or 3 tries, then that's okay, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's something that. It shouldn't be free at least, and it's gonna be tough. Hopefully I can still do this raid, or that they don't stop showing up, because that's something that Niantic didn't clear up, since they only said, oh, we're going to do the double XP, the egg thing, and all that stuff until Monday, but they didn't clarify if that also applies to these raids, but. Hopefully not.
Yeah, I hope not. It would be so dumb of them to just end the legendary thing, especially when we know that Moltres and Zapdos, they're going to happen. It's just a matter of whenever Niantic wants to push the button. But the rules of their little challenge were never really that clear, and obviously they threw it all out the window anyway, and I kind of think we got the conclusion that was already foregone, is that everything was going to get unlocked anyway. But they never really made that clear, which was kind of another issue with that whole event. But by the way, your mic sounded much better. Whatever you did, fix it. So I wanted to ask you real quick, though. What did you think of all the stuff? I don't know if you were here at the very beginning of the show when Charles was here. What did you think of all that stuff that was going on in Chicago?
First of all, I changed mics because I'm testing a new one. But gotcha. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I only caught the last part of that because I was outside trying to catch an Articuno.
Fair excuse.
But yeah. I think, and I kind of agree, that Niantic does need to step up, because, yeah, the game has been out for a year. And I think that they have done a lot to change the game and to fix it and to make it enjoyable. But they do need to step up. They need to work on a lot of things. Like people that still have the problems with Pokemon, the Plus watch. I have a friend of mine that cannot use her Pokemon Go Plus because it won't connect at all, and it's kind of weird. Some people today with on the raids were having problems, like trying to get in the game, trying to get getting the game running, all that stuff, and not to mention the people that went to the fest. That was a complete failure on their part. But I did, at least I'm kind of optimistic on this, and I think that Niantic can learn from this experience. And speaking of if should Niantic sell or give up Pokemon Go to another company, I was looking up a phrase about this that says it's... it's better the devil you know than the angel you don't.
I like that.
Niantic can get rid of Pokemon Go. They would make tons of money about selling it, but I don't know if I would prefer another company handling Pokemon Go, since Niantic, and despite my probably dislike for Ingress, because that game, I really don't see the appeal of playing it right now. At least they know how the stuff works. It's even if Niantic screws lots of things up, I think they at least they know their core, and they can improve that. And I hope they do.
Yeah, I do, you know, despite my criticisms in the beginning of the show, I am rooting for Niantic. This was just a face plant of pretty epic proportions that really should have been avoided. And I think you're kind of right in a way, is that, you know, heaven forbid EA buys Niantic. I mean, obviously I'm making up these completely crazy scenarios, but I'm just saying, you know, I don't know if Niantic necessarily lost money. I mean, yes, they had to refund, and so basically they had to front all the money for the park and all that, but they're making money on people buying all these raid passes to do the new legendary raids. So I don't know if Niantic necessarily lost money on this event, but there was a huge blown opportunity in that regard. And, you know, somebody's got to answer for that one way or another. So anyway.
Yeah, definitely. They're making tons of money. So I don't think that was a complete loss.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. Well, Actef, thank you so much for your perspective, and good luck catching the continued legendaries when they roll out Zapdos and Moltres and all that stuff. It'll be fun.
Thank you. Hopefully I will.
Take care, my friend. All right. It was Actef here on the show. If you want to give us a call, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. I don't know if we have any other last-minute stories. It just slipped through. There was another call that was coming in I was going to grab, but it just slipped through. Do you have another story you want to mention, Logie?
Yeah, they've got a new level. I guess this is a lost level from the Crash Bandicoot series that they're putting out as free DLC until August 19th, called Stormy Ascent.
Cool. Let's get to another call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Kaijudo.
Hey, Kaijudo. What's on your mind, buddy?
Not much. I'm just going to make this quick because I'm on my tablet and the connection's kind of flunky. But okay. I know you guys were talking about G4 earlier. I kind of missed what the email was about. But did you know that Disney, they have a network. It's called a Disney
XD.
DX. And I think, yeah, XD. Yeah, that's what it's called. So they switched that now over to Disney DXP, and I think it's for the entire weekend. I think it's from Friday to Sunday. They just do like a block of video game shows from like nine at night to like 3 a.m.
Really?
And some of the shows are awful, but they have some good ones in there.
No, I
want to
no
say
idea.
Like isn't IGN show on there now or something? I thought I read.
Yeah. That's about to come on in another 30 minutes. They got four IGN episodes that are coming up.
Interesting.
I don't know what that show is. I haven't watched it yet, but the show that I did like that did impress me a little bit, even though it's still for kids and people with ADD. there's a show called Polarize Primetime, and that's pretty good. Like basically, what that is like what's that show that the woman does? She's from Glee. Remember she did like a game show where she's supposed to be in the living room? What do you call that show?
Oh, Hollywood Game Night.
Yeah, it's almost like that. You can kind of say it. Like they have like two celebrity guests. Then they have like the host and like they're all supposed to be in their living room. It's supposed to be like you're having a game party or something. You know, like they have the guests in
okay.
and they play different games. But it's pretty fun and interesting. The only problem with it is since it's for kids, it's really hard to keep up with everything. Like everyone's yelling and screaming. You know, there's like these quick cuts. And, you know, you're like, what the fuck?
It's like playing Mario Party at my house.
It's like watching Shusha.
That sounds neat. I'll have to check that out. I had no idea it was actually – I did know of Disney XD because that's where the Tron –
Phineas and Ferb.
Well, there's that too. But the Tron yeah. – what was it? Tron – not Tron Legacy. Tron something was the anime
yeah.
that was on Disney XD. Mm-hmm. But they aired it like Friday nights or something, and I don't think it got the greatest ratings on there. So that's why they never did a second season. But that's – I was aware of Tron Disney XD. Tron Uprising. Thank you, Actef. That was it. So, but that's neat yep. that they do like – so kind of like how Cartoon Network has Adult Swim, Disney XD or whatever does a video game
right.
block late at night for the
right.
people who are up. That's
right.
interesting.
And
I like that.
The worst show on there, to not get the two names confused, remember the good show is called Polarized Primetime. The awful show is the Polarized Pick This Player or something like that, where it's just like it's just a bunch of YouTube clips all streamed together. Like what? Like they have like a box, they have like a little box with like different YouTubers in it, and the box just jumps around randomly, picks a YouTube player, and you just watch like this nonsensical video that you can't even make heads or tails out of.
So it's
if
a
you're not the right
it's
age.
A TV
so it's
show.
All terrible.
It's a TV show all about influencers. Sounds like a delight.
Right, yeah. Yeah, just terrible. Another great show. They have like a fighting show. I guess it's going to be like their reality show. And each week when someone – I think they're playing Street Fighter. Each week when someone wins, they become like the king or something like that. They sit on the throne, and then the next week they have to battle the winner out of the next two people that play each other. So they got a good thing going with the network. You need to check that out.
All right. I like it. All right, Kaijudo, thanks for the tip. I appreciate it. I'm going to let you go, though, buddy.
All right.
Take care. All right, so I'll have to watch that. Disney XD late at night. So they're doing a reality show out of that. They should do something where you'd have to play Dance Central. The time has come for you to dance for your life. All right, maybe not. Anyway, that's going to do it for the Skype line tonight. We're going to close it on up so we can wrap up the show. Sorry to those who didn't get through, but you can always send us an email, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Come on, Noel Gus wants to know, why can't they just reboot Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? To which ACT-DEFT responds, isn't Netflix doing that? Are they really, if that's true?
Did you hear they're doing The Worst Witch?
No, the Tim Curry thing?
They're redoing it, yeah. Well, the one with Tim Curry was the movie. The show was a TV series.
Oh, right.
But what's your name that plays Lyanna Mormont in Game of Thrones? You know, the badass kid is going to be playing The Worst Witch.
Mm. And
they said who else was in it, but I don't remember because I just remembered her.
But Tim Curry singing, you know, everything happens on Halloween. We saw that as a pre-show for Rocky Horror once. It was epic.
I hate to say it, but Tim Curry probably isn't going to be doing a lot of singing
these days. I know he's in bad shape, but yeah, poor guy. Anyway, we are going to wrap up here at Orange Lounge Radio and call it a week, but we'll see you in 7 days. Hey, this week, Dark Soccer and I both will be at California Extreme. I'm only going to be there for a little bit on Saturday. I'm really only going for like probably open to like 5 or 6.
We're probably going to be there all day, me and Dan.
But you're going to be there all day Saturday. Are you going to be there Sunday too? Or are you staying the whole weekend?
No. Gotcha. No. Sunday. What was I doing Sunday? I actually think Sunday I've got a charity thing I'm doing. So
if you happen to be there Saturday, please come over and say hi. I'm hoping maybe we can meet some classic game people, get some interviews on the show, because I'd really love to talk to some of the game makers here.
I'm hoping, well, I kind of keep up a little bit on Facebook with Steve Ritchie, and I'd like to really have a long talk with him about the process that goes into building pinball tables. So,
yeah, cool.
Maybe I can talk to him. I'm sure he's going to be there. So, and I'd like to talk to the Stern people, too. Did you see the new Stern tables? They have a much bigger marquee on them. Not the marquee, but the LCD screen.
What's their big new one?
The big table that's out right now is by the same people that did Wizard of Oz. It's called Dialed In.
Oh.
And they have one at Coin Op right now.
Oh.
It's along the same lines as that Wizard of Oz table, you know, the same company.
I think it's bright.
But they did... Goodness, I just watched it today.
Ghostbusters had a table recently. That was last year's big release, wasn't it?
They did Star Trek.
Oh, another one. Okay.
They should do a table for UHF.
It's a little dated, awesome. But...
Oh, it would be nice if Weird Al had his own table in general. Then we could have, you know, the stuff from UHF. And sure. We could also have Al TV.
Sure.
And his interviews.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap up here at Orange Lounge Radio. We'll be back in 7 days. So like I said, Dark Soccer and I will go to that and have a lot to talk about there. And we'll see you on Sunday. In the meantime, we're going to wrap things up. Again, I want to thank Mr. Charles, Rock God of Pod, for being on the show tonight. And you can check out Pokemon Go podcast. Meanwhile, it's time for us to wrap up. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please leave us a nice review on iTunes or wherever you found this show. 5-star review goes an awful long way. Also, please tell a friend or two about the show. Don't ask for your money, but we do ask for your word of mouth. Would be awesome, because it is the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to use them. Sorry, I'm laughing at SSGN.
I'd like money.
I'm laughing at SSGN 100 Matt in chat says, accordion multi-ball.
You know what? That would happen. I could see that.
Polka.
Pokeball. It would be called the Pokeball.
Pokeball. I love
Pokeball.
It.
Pokeball.
I love it. Design a table.
By the way, I was telling you earlier, I'm going to be putting this up on YouTube, but right now it's on my Tumblr, which is kurotsubasa.tumblr.com.
If spell it slowly.
KuroutsuBasa.
Okay.
.tumblr.com.
Okay.
I have video. We're borrowing Cactus Canyon right now, which was a limited release pinball table toward the end of the Williams, you know, pinball. And there's mods out for it that make it into what's called Cactus Canyon Continued, that has like special skill shots and different multi-ball modes in it. So we've got one in our garage right now that we're borrowing from a friend, and I have video up of Cowboys versus Aliens multi-ball. Which basically it goes from this crazy old West theme with, you know, Western, you know, theme song type background music into freaking dubstep with shooting. It is exactly that. It's a Skrillex song. It's a Skrillex remix. But it's the best thing ever because it changes the whole feel of the table. And it is the most fun to play. So
it's most extra.
It is very extra. But for just it's on my Tumblr, so to check it out, you know, it's really a lot of fun.
Okay, cool. All right, I guess that's your final thought. I was going to go around and get everybody's final thought, but I guess that was it.
That is.
My final thought is double Stardust. Yay, I need more of it because I've already spent all the Stardust I got playing Pokemon Go today when I almost died because I was stupid and played in the heat and I walked for like 2 miles.
Get a parasol.
I've seen a lot of Pokemon Go players actually do that.
You know what? Mm. You should get one shaped like a star so it can be a parasol star.
Or get one with Pikachu ears on it. I've seen that. I know. I get it. Bubble bobble. Parasol stars. I get it.
Okay.
I get it. All right. Loki, last but not least, your final thought.
I will try to play some games this week because I didn't play any last week.
That's a good resolution to have here on this show. That's going to do it for another week here at Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you next time. In the meantime, have fun playing some games online, and don't be rude.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.